This is Rover's Morning Glory. Rover.
Tupac and I ran in the same circle. Oh.
Doogie.
Don't talk to me for a year.
Peter.
I didn't quit it.
Charlie.
Said I look like a wombat.
And Jeffrey.
He wanted me to take him to get some green.
Oh my God.
Streaming on roverradio.com. Rover's Morning Glory starts now.
What's happening? It is Wednesday, October 25th, 2017. Good morning. It's Rover's Morning Glory. I'm Rover. Doogie is here. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. Turn on
Good
your microphone,
morning.
Jeffrey.
I'm sorry.
Dieter is here.
Yo.
Yo. And you're with us as well. 866-YO-ROVER is the number to reach us. 866-967-6837. You can give us a call at that number. You can also text us. That comes into the studio in real time. You can tweet us. Just put at Rover Radio on your tweet. That also comes into the studio in real time. But the best way to get a hold of us is to give us a call, 866-YO-ROVER. In fact, I'm loading up our text messages and tweets right now so I can see what people have been sending in. Of course, Bedford Bart has already asked for a mood check. Jeffrey, what kind of mood are you in today? What is he, Dieter?
Not good.
Not good?
No.
No?
I'm not feeling it.
You know, I was talking to Doogie about a couple of news stories I didn't get all the details on, but there's two of them. There's a guy
that has nothing to do with your mood. Are you in a good mood or a bad mood?
I'm in a good mood.
Oh, good.
Just like
good.
When I'm concentrating on when I get my mindset on reading something, you know, I usually, you know, I zone out.
I see.
Yeah, no offense either. I am in a good mood today. Oh, also got.
Oh, you're a coffee mug. What are you? What
switch
are you
it over.
You
we
like
found
that?
It. Found it. Said, yeah, I like it. I like the design.
Wait, where's the toilet mug? That should be your all-time coffee mug.
No.
I think he got rid of that toilet.
No,
mug.
It's still out there.
It. Oh, is it?
He doesn't use it.
He never uses
it. No, I think the way it's shaped makes it kind of hard. Its oval shape makes it kind of hard to drink out of.
But that one, that Rolling Glory one, that one works quite well, right?
Yeah, because it's perfectly round.
All right.
So I thought I'd switch it up today.
All right. Well, he's in a good mood.
I'm surprised.
That's a good sign.
So I posted that picture of that coffee mug that you gave us on Instagram, and a lot of people are wondering, you gonna sell those or no? We are a morning show.
Sure, there's no plan to yet, but maybe we could.
The one behind you, my cup behind you on your cabinet there.
Like a fan made that, yeah.
That one's awesome, too. The Rover's Morning Glory coffee cup. So,
well, we'll see. As Donald
Very
Trump
nice.
Says, we'll see.
Okay.
You know what? We'll have to wait and see. We'll see. He's a good man. We'll see. Famous quote. I'll get to your email here in just a moment. Yes, Jeffrey, he's back.
You know, speaking of coffee mugs, I was able to give. I got a coffee mug at home that's a little souvenir from our trip out west. When Dieter and I had. Dieter and I ate at a restaurant called a diner called Patty's Diner in Toluca Lake, California, which is just like a 5-minute walk from the hotel we were staying at, and they were selling the. I said, "Oh, I got to take one of these home with me." So I was able to get me this.
The famous Patty's Diner in Toluca Lake,
country fried steak,
world famous.
Well, they've been in business since 1960.
Out of all the places you were at in California, in Los Angeles. He gets the one from Patty's Diner.
We had to go to Patty's. Like, we have to go there.
Yep.
Didn't say we had to. I thought it'd be, you know.
What'd you get to eat? What'd you get to eat?
Fried steak and eggs.
I'll save us the time. Who cares? Kyle writes, Rover, Yo, I moved to Dublin, Ireland 2.5 years ago, and I'm married to an Irish girl. I obviously introduced her to your show. She was at first reluctant, but you guys have since grown on her like the sores in Jeffrey's mouth. She listens to you every day. Thanks for giving us something to talk about. Jeffrey blows her mind, and for some reason, she doesn't mind Dougie. Keep up the good work. Dougie, you have quite the following in Ireland.
One listener.
Well, it's sweet. More than you
That's
got
a
here.
Start.
Lorraine writes, Dougie and Nads are crazy to say that NSYNC could not be a Super Bowl-level group. Did you guys forget they performed at the Super Bowl halftime in 2001 with Aerosmith, Britney Spears, Mary J. Blige, and Nelly?
They were relevant back then, 17, 16 years ago? Lorraine, you're crazy. No one cares about them
now.
You
have a video of that saved? You could start 30 seconds in.
I mean,
this
right?
This is 2001, guys.
Yeah.
30 seconds. Yeah, but reunions are big.
No.
Not with these guys.
It's not like they've never performed together since. I mean,
you bring out Slash. You bring out an A-lister.
I don't know.
Was Justin in the band at the time?
Oh, look at that.
Okay, yeah. So who cares? This is when they were important. No one cares anymore. It's all Justin.
Justin's never not been in the band, right?
No, he's always been in the band.
But aren't they touring?
I can see that happening. I mean,
no way.
Just at the end for one song?
No.
Yeah. Because he's not going to be by himself the whole time.
I mean, if you look at it, we saw years ago, Dieter and I were at the Super Bowl. We saw the Rolling Stones perform. Can't tell me that. I mean, they haven't put out a relevant album in 30 years.
It's the Rolling frickin' Stones.
But still, you say, well, they were relevant back then. These guys have put out more hit songs in the past 15 years than the Rolling Stones have.
The Rolling Stones'
last album was Voodoo Lounge, I think, in 1995.
Wait, what year?
That can't be true.
65?
They've been around for the last 50, 60 years, but their last studio album that I recall was the album. It was an album called Voodoo Lounge, and I think that was made in 1995, if I'm correct.
He fills his undies with skid marks and a swollen sag.
Classic.
Looks like he took a hammer and gave his junk a smack. A king-size shard and leaves it in his clothes. I have to turn my head so it doesn't get in my nose.
Or they put out, let's see, Havana Moon in 2016.
Huh. Actually, three more albums since Voodoo Lounge.
I mean, yeah, they put out...
What's up with that?
A lot of albums.
What are you looking at?
Jeffrey.
What do you think about that?
These are live albums. Hold on. I was looking at live albums. They've certainly put out a lot of live albums. When did Voodoo launch? That was 1994. Okay, in 1990.
I said.
What? Your microphone's not on. 1997, they put out Bridges to Babylon. 2005, they put out A Bigger Bang. And just last year, Blue and Lonesome.
So that means they're still making music, though. But that was like the last album. That was the last album I remember them putting out. I think they'd still be making music though. So more power to them.
Who would you book if you could book the Super Bowl, Jeffrey? Anyone but Billy Joel.
Well, then they just killed it right there, Dougie.
Anyone else besides Billy Joel. Just have some fun with this.
I don't know. I'd probably book the Rolling Stones, Bon Jovi, Aerosmith, Poison, Motley Crue.
That's a lot of groups.
There you go.
I think Motley Crue would do that one song of theirs, that famous hit.
What's the name?
Let me think.
Motley.
Do you guys remember any of their different song names? Jeffrey, do you?
Home Sweet Home.
No. That's from Theater of Pain.
Not that one.
Jeffrey, what's your favorite Motley Crue songs?
Like I said, Home Sweet Home.
Any other ones? You didn't say that yet, but any other ones?
I mean, I know there are other songs like Dr. Feelgood, Kickstart My Heart.
I just booked Jeffrey to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show. Get out there.
You know, I'm a dreamer. but my heart's a gold. I had a runaway high, so I wouldn't come home low. Just when things went bad, doesn't mean they're always wrong. Just take this song and you'll never be left all alone. Take me to your heart.
It's good, isn't it?
Feel me in your yes. bones. Just one more night and I'm coming off this long and winding road.
There we go.
I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Sweet home.
Yeah.
Tonight, tonight, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Home, sweet home.
I love it. Well, he was in a good mood, he said, but he doesn't look to be in a good mood now. He just got. Hey, can they fix those lights out there for the millionth time?
I've already asked them.
Who you've asked who?
The building. I've sent a note to the building. They came in and did Anthony's studio.
Yeah.
And then that light, when they come up, it's fine, and they won't change.
Bob, but they come up today.
It's out now, Anthony. Back me up when they come. What'll happen? It'll be on.
Hello? Israel writes, "Yo, Rover."
Wait, Anthony.
What?
What?
What, back you up? Yeah, it comes on every once in a while.
What? Israel writes, "Yo, Rover, yo, Dieter. Doogie was singing REO Speedwagon to Rover. She means it, too. She's going to keep on
loving you
forever."
Yeah.
Shout out to Brockport, New York from Naples, Florida.
Nice.
All right.
I was singing it to my daughter, by the way.
What does this even mean? Like, why print this one out? What does this mean? What? How about school bus driver? What does
that
mean?
Look at the top, what the topic is. If you could be a job, the jobs.
Oh, it just says jobs.
Yeah. Which the topic was yesterday. If you could do any job.
And impersonate a profession.
That'd be actually harder than you think. Turn the corners and back and get up.
It's not that hard. I've driven that bus. It's not
down
as hard
the road.
As you. Yeah, it's not as hard as you think.
It was like 3 in the morning when nobody was on the
road. No, but it's... I've done it during the day. Yeah, of course. No, it was a straight line the entire way.
Well, you said you would back it out of your garage and forward. I don't see you turning that thing.
8 hours to get
here. I drove it from Sheffield Lake to, I don't know, so on the east side.
I've never seen that. Well, I would love to see
you
turn, Rover.
I haven't seen it, but...
Has anybody seen it?
No.
Okay.
I drove it here to the radio station.
I don't believe it.
3 a.m. He did.
And it was amazing. It just lined up where I got to come into the parking lot in a straight line. No turns.
We always have a driver.
And school bus driver, you got to stop at all the stops. You got to memorize all that. All the opening the door.
Where to
the
drop
the
kids off, too.
Kids are rowdy. The route.
It's a lot of work.
The door you got to pump open, Snit said.
Sound effects.
Cat writes.
Thank you.
Can someone please, for the love of God, explain why and how a person can go around with gaping sores and infections day in and day out and be okay with it and do nothing about it? Please, please explain. She's talking about Jeffrey and his foot, which is heavily infected, is my understanding. And
do you want to get a live update?
We could.
Do it now? You want to do it after the break?
Oh, we could do it now. Why not? Jeffrey, come on in here. Let me sit down here. Let's take a look. Sit down on the couch of smears. We'll take a look at your foot.
Couch of sores.
It's walking funny, like with a limp.
You okay? Mike.
Put your microphone on.
Put your microphone on.
Put your microphone on.
He hates this life.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Only on Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
No, he loves it like Friday night in Louisville. That's when he likes the show again.
Oh. He does have a Band-Aid on his foot.
Yeah, I put this on this morning.
Put all your right. foot up on the couch so we can see it. We can't see it.
Did you buy any more antibiotics,
there you go.
Jeffrey?
That's good. Let's look at this thing.
Oh.
Is it better or worse?
Oh.
Here we go. Get it off.
Oh.
Peel off the Band-Aid.
That
Whoa. still red.
It is still red, but I mean, let me look at this. Hold on a second.
Ew.
Stop bleeding.
No, it wasn't bleeding before. It was just like a crater.
Is it oozing? What do you see?
I think
there?
It looks a little bit better. I cool. think it looks better.
Go back to that shot, Snitz.
Did you put any wait, Jeffrey.
I put some antibiotics on it this morning.
What's hanging off the bottom of your foot onto the couch
it's
now?
It's just sock crud hanging from the bottom
Where
of
did
this.
You get-
It's a sock, yeah. It's a sock lint.
Don't just throw that on the floor.
Toss it, roll it up and flick it.
Don't just leave like that on the floor. Yeah.
Where'd you get the antibiotic sauce?
That's the that's I still have some left from that from what that nurse gave me.
What?
Lying.
Yeah.
Remember when he called him, Rover? He said he ran out the first day of the cream.
I forgot that I had some left over, so I've been using that.
But you
and
said
Neosporin.
You said that you went through two tubes of his cream, right?
Well, they were small, I thought, but then I realized I had one I still had. I hadn't opened, so I started using that. But I've been using Neosporin, too.
Yeah, sure. All right.
So,
what about the tetanus shot? Did you already get that done?
No, I haven't got that done yet. I think the last thing, when I went in for my finger, they gave me a tetanus. When I went into the emergency room for my finger, they gave me a tetanus shot.
You know?
Yeah, because I remember going to the hospital for my finger. That's when they gave me the tetanus
shot.
Where
did they give it to you? What part of your body?
They sure as hell did not give it to me in my ass.
Well, where?
Well, that's where I was at the hospital once with my dad, and he got a tetanus shot, and they did it right in the ass.
Well, he did not do it in my ass. He did it in my arm.
Well, then I don't know if you even had one.
Well, whatever, Charlie. I mean, they tell you. I mean, like, you don't necessarily
where's
have to.
Where's that sock crud?
It's sock lint.
No, where's that sock
where
crud?
You dropped it.
Sock lint.
You dropped it when we were talking.
Where is it?
No, I just put it. Put it back in the sock and
no, it's right there on the floor.
Sure.
What's that black
sure,
thing
Rover?
On the floor?
He's questioning
try
you.
Try to sleight of hand.
Put your hand down.
Right where?
Forward. Put your hand down. Put your hand down.
Where?
I'll guide you to it if you put your hand
like
down.
Like a football stance.
Move forward. Forward. What's that black thing right there? Right by.
No, to your left.
No, it's left. Just a piece of the carpeting.
Uh huh. So you put the sock lint back
yeah, it's
in
just
your
sock lint. I mean, come on. Yeah. Just ordinary. It's just lint.
Okay.
Crying out loud.
Here's a question. You ran out of Band-Aids, right? What else have you run out in your first aid kit that you carry at home? Because you have kids and stuff, so you want to keep them all healthy and
we
stuff.
We don't. I mean, unfortunately, we've never kept a first aid kit in the house.
Oh,
we
no.
I do have a box of Band-Aids, and I do have some hydrogen peroxide.
For yourself.
Aspirin. Yeah. No, for all of us.
Well, no, it was free.
You said you ran out of Band-Aids.
His kids don't go outside, Snitz. How would they ever get injured?
Oh, that's true.
There's a ceiling floor on the, or there's a ceiling fan on the floor, though.
Not anymore, so.
Wait, so you did have Band-Aids in your first aid kit? Because you said you didn't have any.
No, I bought some Band-Aids Monday after the show. And some Neosporin, and that's what I've been using.
All right. Well, it looks better. In any case, it looks better. Here's a question for you. Stop. I thought
you were done with me. That's why.
But why mess with that microphone? Why? I don't understand.
No, I just thought you were going to I thought you were done with me. You're going to just throw me out of here and put me back in the box.
Sure.
But even if I was going to do that, why mess with that microphone when it's turned on so it makes noise?
Sorry about that.
I don't even know why I'm asking. Marcus in Charleston, South Carolina writes, I have a quick question about Jeffrey. He's almost 50 years old. I bet he has absolutely $0 set aside for retirement. What exactly are his plans for later in life?
I'll probably wind up working until I croak. Because the way retirement is nowadays, you never know who's going to run out of what. So,
do you have any money?
No.
Do you have a will?
No, I don't have a will.
Do you have a savings account?
I have a savings account only $1.87.
What?
Told you. I mean, I probably wind up with the way things are going these days in the economy, I'm probably going to wind up having to work till I die.
Uh-huh. The economy's actually doing all right, isn't it?
So,
Donald Trump fixed it.
Yeah. I'll see that. I'll believe it when I see it.
You got 401k or anything?
No, I don't even know. I don't even know. I have a hard time comprehending that 401k stuff.
Well, I wonder if he'll get Social Security. I mean, I guess.
Of course.
I guess he'll get something.
Don't you have to? I don't know.
Pay taxes?
Yeah, I was going to say that might be the first step.
Funny.
Let's see here. Leanne writes, when Doogie says B2 is a slave to you because she does everything for you, does not make her a slave. The definition of a slave, I'm a housewife mother who chooses to stay at home to help raise our family. That is what we decided. I don't know. This is very hard to follow. Tom says, Rover, there's a solution I think you could use to meet B2 halfway when it comes to guns. There is a self-defense class, a company that my dad created to help with this sort of situation. He's a police chief now. The classes teach you how to defend yourself against all types of situations, and it's done in groups. Something to look into for her and possibly people at the station. So maybe we'll send B2 to self-defense class.
She is strong.
Oh, come on. She's 94 pounds.
It's all muscle. This is ridiculous. She's very athletic. She's got a dance background.
Yeah, but she's 94 strong. Pounds.
I know,
that's
but
like
if
saying
she...
your 7-year-old is strong. No. Is she going to be able to fend off an intruder?
God, you're crabby today.
I'm not crabby.
B2's sister is very athletic, too.
Bianca, B3, is strong.
I wouldn't want to get into a bar fight with her.
She'd crush you.
James writes, all these people are bitching and moaning about cultural appropriation. We were talking about this with Halloween costumes. Civilization is possible because different races and cultures shared ideas and resources. This country, unfortunately, has already seen cultural appropriation at an extreme. It was called segregation. If I don't know how that would be cultural appropriation, but if different races of people start dictating what other races can say or do, we will take an enormous leap backwards. And F. Doogie writes, as a male, when Doogie wears men's XXL sweatshirts, I feel offended because she is appropriating my sex. I also feel this way for all female to male transgenders.
Sweet. I don't know what that means, but.
And. Something about a rally for the Second Amendment, state capitol, something. What is it? Rover, we're trying to get the word out on a nationwide rally for the Second Amendment. November 5th, across the country in every state capitol. The word is out. What do you mean we need the word out for the Second Amendment?
Well, you got it out.
Are you for the Second Amendment or against the Second? I would assume that he's for it, but, I mean, the word is out there. We have it. It's an amendment to the Constitution. Bill of Rights. All that jazz. Right, Jeffrey?
Yep.
Yep.
So I don't know what we need a rally for the Second Amendment for. We already... I mean, people are shooting each other left and right. We all have guns. What are you going to rally for?
More guns.
I don't know. All right. Well, there you go. In case you're wondering, you make a trip to your state capital on November 5th to rally for something we already have. Doogie.
Yo.
What's coming up in the shizzy?
So we have talked a lot about sexual harassment, and now a 93-year-old former president had to apologize for inappropriately touching an actress.
Really?
I have to tell you this bizarre story, guys.
All right. We will get to that in just a moment. Also, in both the 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock hour, that's Eastern time, so this upcoming hour and the hour after that, we will have your opportunity to join us at the sold-out Holy Moses Matrimony. What will happen? What will go down? Jeffrey, Mary Elizabeth, tying the knot, renewing their vows. It is a night that you will not be able to forget, I'm sure.
I can't wait.
It will have a special performance by Pop Evil, brand-new Rover's Morning Glory merchandise, and much, much more. Holy Moses Matrimony tickets are being given away by Christie's Cabaret. And the entire event is thrown by Coors Light. So you could have an opportunity in 2 minutes when it's officially the 7 o'clock hour. But sometime between 7 and 8 and sometime between 8 and 9, tickets for Holy Moses Matrimony. We'll be back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
If you ever think your dreams are unattainable,
just remember that these guys are paid broadcasters.
Speaking out of context.
Commander what?
Ants chief. Both.
Intensity defined him.
Can anyone follow this say news broadcast?
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
The shizzy is coming up in a moment. What do you have on the way, Doogie?
93-year-old creeper. Story of a former president had to apologize for inappropriately touching somebody. I'll tell you the story next.
All right. You tell me who won the World Series last night.
Of course I will.
I turned it off. It was 1-1. It's on so late.
Yeah, it was 3-1 when I was watching it.
All right, we'll get to that. And this hour, tickets for Holy Moses Matrimony. It is sold out immediately. But you will be able to go sometime this hour. I'll give those tickets away. You'll see a special performance by Pop Evil. You'll see Jeffrey and Mary Elizabeth renewing their vows. You'll see Dumb, our old phone screener, on the ones and twos. The tickets are brought to you by Christie's Cabaret for another opportunity to win. Stop by Christie's Cabaret and register at the front door, and they will pick a winner from one of those entries. You can get all the locations at christiescabaret.com. The entire event brought to you by Coors Light. Doogie, are you ready for the shizzy?
Yes.
Here we go.
Hit a shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
This is an interesting story, the research that led to the dossier containing allegations about Donald Trump's links to Russia. It was funded by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC, according to the Washington Post.
I thought everyone knew this already.
They did.
This has been
Why
out
is this
for,
a big story?
I don't know. Like, this was reported on when the dossier first came out. This is
just rumors, though, right? This actually now is a trace to her.
They might have just said Democrats in general.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I thought it was pretty obvious who was funding that. It's
Jeb Bush started paying for it, right?
Oh, I don't know if Jeb Bush started paying for it, but...
Well, that's what I read. Jeb Bush started, then when he was out of the race, he quit paying for it, and then Hillary picked up paying for it.
This kind of stuff happens all the time, so I'm not surprised by that.
Wouldn't it be funny if she came out and said fake news because everything? Because Donald says,
"Fake news."
I didn't pay for this.
Donald says there is no, everything that's being reported about this, the document, the investigation, it's all fake. But now he'll jump on that. Like, what will he say with all this story is everywhere? So I wanted to start with that. So George H.W. Bush, he had to formally apologize for inappropriately touching an actress. Heather Lynn is her name. Also claimed the 93-year-old former president cracked a raunchy joke. In a now-deleted Instagram post, Lynn alleged that he touched me from behind from his wheelchair with his wife. It's not funny. With his wife, Barbara Bush, by his side.
He's a thousand years old.
He told me a dirty joke and then, all the while being photographed, touched me again.
He's 100 years old.
But he's still
she said, Barbara.
A horny old man.
Just rolled her eyes and said, good grief, not this again.
Well, I think he was probably, you know how old men are.
They also give up on caring about like social norms and stuff. They'll just start getting real filthy with women.
Yeah, when you're 90, you'll start grabbing ass.
What can anyone do to you?
He's the former president. He's got security around him.
He was probably telling a dirty joke. Is there a photo of him grabbing her? Let me see.
Well, the hand's behind, kind of like the Taylor Swift picture. You can't see, but the hand's right there.
That's not funny. I feel bad.
And did you say, dude, she did it twice?
Yeah, he did it again. Yeah, so he had to apologize.
To the same woman twice?
Yeah.
And Secret Service goes, it's your fault. You shouldn't be standing right next to this horny old man.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but
no, he's they go, you shouldn't stand right next to him.
He's in a wheelchair.
He's a known grabber?
When he puts his arm around you, It's at ass level. I mean, you can't see where his hand. I mean,
you're right. Her ass is at wheelchair level. Like, yeah. What else are you gonna do?
Security she's, said put that she's, picture back up for a second. Let me see that. She's cute.
Is Who is this? Stand up.
She's an actress. She's in
Turn.
Yeah, Washington Spies on AMC.
The hell's that? I don't know what that is, but she's cute.
Security really? Said you shouldn't have stood right next to him in the photo.
Oh, come
that's their quote.
Who says that?
Her.
She says that yeah. The Secret Service told her.
Quote. Claimed afterwards, Bush's security detail said you shouldn't have stood right next to the former president for the photo. It's your fault.
Oh, that's crazy.
When did this happen?
I think 4 years ago. Right? Did it say douche when? I thought I saw that somewhere.
Yeah, it was 4 years ago.
Okay.
All and right. Now she's coming out to report
because of
that?
All the Me Too hashtag.
That's just, all right. I mean, there's been not even a whisper of inappropriate behavior by George H.W. Bush. So many initials in these middle names. Come on. All right. Whatever. Go on, dude.
In Russia, a 36-year-old woman by the name of Natalia Nevitz was cleaning a mixer at a factory in a caramel factory. And yeah. She was inside the mixer cleaning it.
Yeah.
And it had those big, like, you know, a mixer has those big wheels that spin around and mix everything.
Mixes things up. Yeah, sure. It's a mixer.
Well, apparently, workers told the local papers there that they could see something that horribly went wrong. Caramel was poured in there as she was cleaning.
Boiling
it boiled
caramel.
Her
yeah.
to death. It was Whoa. Hot caramel. It boiled her to death. The workers say that they saw her limbs poking out of the caramel. As it filled the tank, they could not save her.
Is it caramel sticky, too?
It yes. is.
So you're probably like in being like Quick in sand. Mud, yeah.
They said that she didn't cry. No noise was heard. The caramel was removed from the giant bowl, and only then was her body taken out.
What if it would be so? Caramel's so good.
Is
Could
it?
You eat a body?
Or eat your way out of it?
Covered in caramel?
No.
By the way, I don't think that she. I saw another report on this story. I don't think she was cleaning it and then they poured it in. I mean, how fast would that get poured in? They think that she passed out and fell right into this big vat of, you know, it was a very hot day. They think that she passed out, fell into the caramel face first.
That's not what this one says. That's
I mean, how would you think about how fast that caramel would have to, and if you didn't scream, and also how are her legs sticking straight up? That's how they found her. Her legs were sticking straight up out of the caramel.
That means she's not passed out then. If you're passed out flat.
No, you'd pass out and fall in. So right. Your feet would be out.
Exactly.
Like diving into a pool.
Right.
Oh. That the caramel was already in there?
Exactly.
Oh. Oh. Where'd you see that? That's totally different than what this
is. I know. I read the version that you're talking about, and it didn't make a lot of sense to me. I said, how is that possible? So then I Googled this. I also wanted to make sure that whatever candy factory this was, that I don't eat that kind of candy. So that's how I really Googled
it. Are you off
it.
The diet? Are you doing Halloween? Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
I have not.
Big fight a couple years ago with you and the now fiance.
No, there was no big fight.
You made her cry.
Oh, that's just.
Did you buy the candy yet, Rover?
No.
Well, what happened? You sent her out to go re-up on your supply because you ran out. And she didn't get the king size or something?
He criticized her and made her cry because he's mean.
I wasn't mean. I sent her out to get one kind of candy, and she came back with a different kind of candy. And she's very sensitive. She likes to please me. And I wasn't mean. She just started crying. I always tell her, I go, it's not that big of a deal. Who cares? Don't get all worked up over this.
Bad news for Charlie. A new rule, it'll come into law in less than 30 days, means that you will not be able to vape. It's banned in indoor public places in the state of New York. Did you see this? You're a big vapor.
I did see this, and I'll still do it.
You can't.
As long as you're not making a scene, that's the whole point of it. There's people that make a huge scene, and there's like a cloud around them at all times. Those people are going to have some problems.
I saw a lot of that.
I'm discreet. Sorry. Discreet.
Oh, You have a lot of smoke that comes out when you hit that.
If I want to, but if I want to be discreet, like I'll go to the movies. You don't even know you don't even know I'm doing it.
Oh, you smell that
on a plane?
It's like a syrup smell.
Oh, you just think I'm using some sort of hand lotion?
You do it
something.
On a plane?
Oh, all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah, I think when we flew back from L.A., he was smoking on a plane and he blows it down.
Yeah, I blow it down or I just go in the bathroom and just cloud out the bathroom. Nobody knows what's going on in there.
Are you whittled down as far as the nicotine level? Aren't you supposed, isn't that the whole point of it, is to
it's
go
part
down?
Of it. No, I'm good where I'm at right now.
No, he's, yeah. Okay. Remember, that was his original plan. He was going to dial back the nicotine.
I did, Rover. I started off at 28 or whatever, and now I'm at 6. 6 nicotines, so... Mm-hmm. I did dial it back.
He was going to dial it to zero, but
okay.
Didn't
Los Angeles Dodgers shut down the Houston Astros last night. It was in L.A. Game one of the World Series. So they said it was a quick game. It was hot. It was really fast. But they're going to have another round tonight. Mm-hmm. And then they head to Houston. I know our listeners, the Houston connection, they're like, come down to Houston for the World Series. So.
What's the final score? Houston's have it. No.
I do.
Sorry.
No. I do have it.
We're waiting on it.
Should I just give it?
No.
No. Three. What?
Go ahead.
3-1. Right?
Yeah.
All right. 3-1.
Sweet.
Yeah, we talked about taking the bus down to Houston for the World Series, but that was one of the things that just got thrown out just 2 days ago. And I said, that's a pretty quick turnaround to try and head down there all the way to Houston and go to it. I mean, I don't have tickets to the World Series. I don't know what we would do when we got there.
We do a watch party with our Houston fans.
That's two people, Sheila.
I think they're up to like 6 now.
Okay. All right.
Colin Kaepernick will remain silent no more because he just scored himself a lot of money and a book deal. Reportedly signs a $1 million book deal, and it'll be interesting to see what he's going to say in it. I guess he signed it with Random House, so I'm kind of curious. I hate to admit it, I'm kind of curious to see what he's going to put in it.
A lot of people are going to buy those.
It's going to be all about how the black man is being held down by the man. They might as well just be the title.
Yeah, but they're going to
buy... Held down by the man.
Or if they're going to buy the books to then burn that book to get back at
him.
I see all people doing this.
I cannot remember how to say this man's name because it's been a gazillion years since I've thought about him, heard about him. These guys in the fart box probably don't even know about him.
Oh, you got to know him.
You got to know this guy who's now dead. I thought he was dead already, and I'm going to have my friend Jeffrey LaRoque say his name. Robert
Glummy or Glummy or however, I don't know, but I know the actor you're talking about. He passed away at the age of 89 from complications from prostate cancer. He was best known as Benson Dubois in the TV show Benson. The level-headed butler. He was also in several movies.
Which one? Which is most famous? Like, one of the best?
One of the best movies I've seen him in, where he played the school principal, school superintendent Frank Napier in Lean on Me.
Right. That's how I know him.
So, not Benson.
No, I've heard of Benson. Okay. Is he a butler?
He's a level-headed butler. Benson Dubois.
But I know him for movies.
I don't know. Yeah, but
Lean
he's
on
not
me,
known
Robert?
For...
He plays the head principal always fighting with Joe Clark.
No, he was the school. He played Frank Napier, who was the school superintendent.
Benson
who
was
technically
Benson
Joe Clark's
was a spinoff of what?
Somebody you don't use.
Who's the boss?
No. Soap.
Yes. Billy Crystal, yes.
How do you pronounce his name, Jeffrey?
Just by this, it's an interesting spelling, so I say like. Glami?
Like salami?
Whatever.
Doogie, how do you
I can't
say
pronounce
it?
His name, so.
Wait, hold on. Doogie? How do you pronounce this guy's name?
I'm getting him confused with Robert Goulier. Remember that guy?
No, David Goulier.
You're talking about the French Canadian actor Robert Goulet.
I'm getting that confused with Benson. So this is Robert Gouliami?
Robert Goulami?
I love
or Goulami or Glami.
How do you
or...
spell this?
And I know Anthony's laughing.
G-U-I-L-L-A-U-M-E.
Anthony knows how to say it.
Yeah,
but it's funny for him because we don't know how to say it.
I don't know how to say it either. I would say that it's probably...
Like Mayor Giuliani.
No, it's got to be like...
Robert Goulet.
Guillaume or something like that.
Robert Guillaume?
I think I like that. My, that's,
I don't know how you pronounce this guy's name. How do you pronounce it, Snitz?
Oh, you want me to ruin it all?
Yes.
It's Guillaume. Yeah, that's right.
Guillaume.
Oh, is it Guillaume? All right.
Yeah. So there you go. Our condolences to him and his, well, he's dead, his family. That's a shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
Dearly beloved, win your way into the sold-out wedding party of the year.
The more the merrier.
Right now, be caller 30 at 1-866-YO-ROVER. That's 1-866-967-6837. And get an invitation for you and your plus one to witness Holy Moses matrimony.
Holy Moses!
With Jeffrey and Mary Elizabeth.
Still married to her, so I'm rolling with it.
Happening Saturday, November 18th at the House of Blues.
Cheaper to keep her.
More chances to win all week in the 7 and 8 o'clock hours. Brought to you by Christie's Cabaret and Rover's Morning Glory.
Good luck.
We'll have another opportunity for you to win next hour, but right now, good luck to you with the Holy Moses matrimony tickets to the sold-out show. There was a guy in Turkey who was very upset that he's very upset that his daughter got engaged.
Why?
Well, he wasn't informed that she was getting engaged, and he was so distraught that he took to Facebook and he blew his head off on Facebook Live. Can you believe this?
Wait, why didn't he like the guy?
I don't even know if it was like the guy. It was that he wasn't informed.
Like asked?
He didn't get... I'll tell you here some of his quotes here. Goodbye, I am leaving. Take care of yourselves. I'm live streaming tonight, and it is my will. I do not want the ones who put me in this position to attend my funeral. So,
his daughter.
Do they go on with the wedding, you think, after this?
No.
I don't know. He says that he learned about his daughter's engagement, her happiest day, in a telephone call from his wife. He says, quote, nobody asked me. Nobody treated me like a man. My father-in-law took my place without having a right. He approved my daughter's wedding. Nobody said this girl's father is alive, though I would have waited for my daughter and family to say to me, come, father, be with us. A little later, I will put an end to my life with the gun I am holding in my hands.
Do you call the police at that time? Does somebody see this and call?
This guy seems like he's a real dramatic guy.
Oh, you still call the police. If he's on live stream, you said, Facebook?
Facebook Live, yeah. He's live streaming him with a gun, and he's going crazy about his daughter's. He didn't get permission from, I guess, the groom-to-be. I guess he didn't ask for the father's permission.
Estranged? Is there a?
I don't know. I don't know any details about this, but
you don't have the. You're not going to do the video, are you?
You do the video.
Oh my god!
Is it the full video or
what's
going on? So he's very upset.
People liking it.
Now there's a lot of sad face emojis.
Yeah, the anger and sad emojis.
Okay.
And then the wow emoji. Whoa.
There's a little tear emoji.
How about calling the cops?
Sad face emoji.
No, this is just as good.
Thumbs up. Okay. They like it. An oh no emoji. Lots of emojis floating by the screen.
Oh Jesus. Oh God.
Thumbs up here.
Hepinizin Allah belasını versin. Ve ben gidiyorum. Benim maaşımdan yiyen herkese Allah belasını versin. Kan kussunlar.
Oh, watch it, Dizzy. Here you go.
Ben ne diyeyim? Kanser olsunlar. Yedi cihanda da yüzleri gülmez. Hadi Allah ısmarladık. Ben gidiyorum. Kendinize iyi bakın. Hadi görüşürüz.
Oh my God. He puts a gun to his head. And shoots himself. And then the video, I don't know if it cuts out right there, it stops, but jeez.
Did somebody scream in the background?
That was me.
No, in the video.
I think it was the chair squeaking.
Oh, it was a squeak.
He fell over.
I don't know what that sound was.
Like a tire screeching outside. Maybe someone heard it.
Yeah.
They heard it and they slammed on their brakes outside.
I would.
But this guy's so upset over that. Is that a... I did not ask you, B2's father. I didn't. I sent him a text message like, I don't know, a few minutes before I asked B2 to marry me. I
what'd
you say? Well, I forgot. Cool, so what this? I did was we're out at dinner and I go, oh yeah, I should just maybe like send a text. So I tried to like... B2 doesn't like being on your phone at dinner. So I had to like take out my phone and like look down and
go to the bathroom and call him.
Pretend that I'm. So then I just sent a text and I'm like, yeah.
You cool with this?
Like, yeah.
You
yeah.
And did you say you're doing it or can I do this?
No, I think I just said I'm doing it. I didn't necessarily ask for permission.
What if we said no?
He would have totally said no. He doesn't like you.
And, did you get a response back? Did you get a response back?
I got a response back the next day, actually, I believe.
Too
is
late.
There the gunshot emoji?
Yeah, did you check Facebook Live?
Papa B2.
Is that a big deal? Like, I mean, did you ask your girlfriend's father before you gave her that engagement ring?
That's
your grandmother's
hilarious.
Engagement ring?
No. But I think that is a big deal. Snitzer, did you do that? Did you ask permission?
I did not, no.
Why not, Snitz?
Well, we were already together for 5 years. It's like...
I think it's just a respect thing. I understand that.
It's like a formality. I thought you have to do
but
that.
But I don't know what the respect thing is. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to base it on what some old guy says, yes or no? Snitz is going to say...
No, but when you have it...
If his wife's dad said, no, you can't marry my daughter, Snitz is going to be like, oh, okay. Walk away from it?
No, I mean, they were divorced anyway, so who cares what he thinks?
But when you have a kid, there's this weird protection.
Wait, what does that mean?
Listen.
Well, no, the part where Spencer just said they're divorced, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
What? But he's still her father.
Yeah, no. Her real father is gone. It was her stepfather, and they are already divorced, too, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
So who cares?
Father.
Yeah. What do you mean her real father is gone? He passed away?
He did pass away, yeah.
Oh. Jeez. Snitz is a... Snitz's life is just filled with tragedy, isn't
it? Sadness.
You know what today is?
What
is it?
It's his wedding anniversary.
Snitz?
Yeah.
Oh.
Happy anniversary.
Yes. Thank Happy you. Anniversary.
Happy anniversary, man.
Oh.
Now, what do you guys have planned? You have a big dinner tonight, or what are you doing?
Doing a small dinner tonight, just us, and then next weekend we're going to New York City. So.
Oh. First nice.
Time. How fun.
What are you going to do in New York? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, we have a whole bunch of stuff planned. A couple tours, bus tours and stuff, and going
Kramer?
To see all the sites.
Oh, they're
we
going
might
on
hit
the Seinfeld tour, I bet, aren't
we might
they?
Might hit that one, yeah.
Oh, get pictures.
You have to.
He was going to go to see Hamilton until he saw the ticket prices. How much were they?
The cheapest ones were like $400 a piece.
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't think so.
It's too much money.
Wow. That is expensive.
And they're probably crappy seats.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're far away.
For $400,
but
yeah.
Still, I mean, it's a play, so how far away can you be?
There's good seats and there's bad seats.
All right. Well, happy anniversary. How long have you been married?
This is our 25th.
25th wedding anniversary. That's a big one. Well, maybe you can renew your vows next month at Holy Moses Matrimony.
When Mary Elizabeth doesn't show up?
Yeah, exactly. You guys might have to be the stand-in, last-minute replacement. Ask her stepfather. Yes, Jeffrey.
Speaking of wedding anniversaries, this would have been my mom's parents' wedding anniversary.
Today?
Yeah, October 25th, 1941 was when they got married. And the way my grandfather proposed to my grandmother was they were at Euclid Beach Park when my grandfather asked to.
He rips another part, we need a rescue.
Did he play this song?
And he really loves sweet old ladies. But he's gonna stop going out to Motorboat Babes. Cause he knows what it means when he walks the aisle to marry his pygmy queen. Smears appear again on his clothes. And his colon looks like it's about to blow. Now it's dripping down his thighs onto the floor. And he's made up. No more cheating on his wife after they get married again.
That's it. He's done. No more cheating. after Holy Moses Matrimony. He's getting it all out of his system down there in Louisville. He's all done with that kind of stuff.
Good.
Let me take a quick break. We will be right back. I said that I was suspicious about that Carmel story where the woman was killed in the boiling Carmel, and they said, oh, it must have flowed in there while she was cleaning the tank. It's, how fast is that Carmel flowing? Now they say maybe she fell into there, passed out, fell in. So I'm suspicious of that story. I'm suspicious of another story. And I feel bad about being suspicious. I haven't heard anyone else say they're suspicious.
Oh, it feels suspicious.
But there's a story I'm suspicious about. You know what I'm talking about? Because I have it in the system. You know? Yeah.
But it seems wrong to even question anything.
Does feel wrong, but
so I'm not going to. I believe it.
I will.
I believe it.
I will. I will bring it up. It's a local story, and it's, I don't know. I'll let you make up your own mind right after this. I'll give you the details, and I'll play something for you. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
For a mother of three, Doogie is in really great shape.
I'm good.
Too bad she's only had one kid, though.
It's gross.
Try pushing that thing out of Vag.
Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
Rochester, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Ethan.
Rover, Dieter, yo.
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 Hey, when you guys were in Vegas, didn't Dieter get Jeffrey a Cialis? He plan on using that for his wedding?
Good question. Yeah, I do. I did give him.
Did you actually hand it over to him yet?
No.
Okay.
I do have one sitting in a bag.
I'm trying to find. So what is he going to do? He's going to use that on his
Holy Moses matrimony.
Waiting. If he needed to use it in Vegas, I had it ready to go, but he never had the opportunity. But now, if he wants it.
And how does Cialis work? That's something you take at the beginning of the day, right?
Yeah, that can work at any point.
Yeah.
So you take it. You're going to be ready to go 24/7.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? To see if that thing actually works still.
We should take one now just to make sure.
Oh, no thanks.
Why?
I
mean, is it awake?
It's probably asleep right now.
Well, I was awake in Kentucky, right. I'll tell you that.
And I should have gave it to him.
There is a local case that I want to talk to you about. I feel bad. I mean, look, I'm probably wrong. Actually, I don't even necessarily have a theory or an opinion, so there's nothing to be wrong about. There's just something that I heard this story. And I said, well, that's weird. There is a sixth grade teacher, a woman in a suburb here called Strongsville. But now, if you're not from the area, it's a nice suburb. There's not a lot of crime that's going on out there. She was murdered in her own home, stabbed in the back. Now, that in itself is unusual, right? This happened during the day. It just what didn't appear to be a robbery or anything, as far as I know. Over the course of the past year or so, her and her husband have claimed that people have been trying to break into their house, that someone stole their car keys, various things like that. They've called the police a few times, suspicious people, that kind of stuff. So you think to yourself, what is it? Some guy has it out for this teacher or something, or what? On Monday, I believe it was, she was found dead. Her husband and I guess her soon-to-be, I'm trying to think of, a guy that's engaged to her daughter.
Son-in-law.
Son-in-law, yeah. Soon-to-be son-in-law, I believe. or maybe new son-in-law or whatever, I don't know. But they come home and walk into the house, and she's laying in a pool of blood, dead.
Jesus. She's a school teacher? She didn't go to school that day?
Well, this was later in the day. This is like at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
So the husband calls 911, and I they say people react differently, but I got to tell you, this is a bizarre 911 call.
Oh, no.
It is, but you also said that you would be nervous to encounter something like this because you wouldn't know how to react on the phone to 911.
I don't think I would react this way. I wouldn't know how to react. Sure. I think anyone who puts themselves in this situation and says, this is how I would react or should react, or, you don't know because you've never been in this situation. I can tell you that if I walked into a house and I would be nervous if I saw like a dead body in the house.
Yeah.
Or what appeared to be a dead body, because is the perpetrator still in the home? If I go to render aid, are they going to jump out and attack me? Who knows?
So you run in, scream, and you run out.
You wouldn't scream. Rover wouldn't scream. Rover would be like...
crap his pants.
You know, he'd be like, whoa.
No,
you're not emotional. Douchey.
I've seen it. He has the ability to be emotional.
I don't know as if I would scream either.
No, I don't think I've ever heard you scream, besides at Doogie, over anything, like an accident.
If I found you dead, I would scream, yes!
Party!
Yes!
You lie.
Like, Rover, yesterday in front of this building, there was a big accident on the main intersection.
Yeah,
when you pulled up, were you like, whoa? Or would you just go on your way?
No, I just saw the accident, and I
there was
going.
There wasn't, like, blood or anything.
No, but it was a big T-bone. Like, when I saw it, I was like, whoa! That was a big T-bone accident. There was a lot of guts everywhere.
What
not
happened?
Guts, a lot of car parts everywhere.
I got there late. I just saw two cars kind of parked into each other.
It wasn't that big of an accident.
They were dented up.
Okay, oh, it's a big T-bone smash. And to me, I just quickly go, whoa.
You know what a T-bone is?
Yeah, one car's turning in and it gets T-bone from the side. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, it wasn't a T-bone. They both hit their front ends.
One hit the side of it. Anyway, the front end or the side. It was a major accident. Besides the point, I don't see Rover getting too emotional seeing a body somewhere.
Oh, I would be freaked out. Don't get me wrong.
Well, you keep it inside.
I do. I internalize everything. So that's why I'm saying you don't know how you would react. And maybe this is a normal reaction for the guy, for the husband. But, man, I heard this. I read the story, and I go, that's weird. And then I read that there were these odd things that were happening over the past year, and I thought, that adds a little bit of a wrinkle. That's just abnormal. That's unusual. That's strange. Then I heard this 911 call, and I was like, huh.
Makes you go, hmm.
That's right, like I'm Arsenio Hall back in the day, or CNC Music Factory. Things that make you go, hmm.
You have the call?
Yeah, here is a... 911 call is this husband calling the police to say that his wife has been stabbed. Listen.
911, what's the city of your emergency?
Strongsville, Ohio. We have people on the way already.
What's the address?
We're blazing start. I think someone killed my wife.
You think someone killed your wife?
Yeah, it looks like she has stab wounds on her back. We've had people trying to break into our house all year.
Sir, I understand, sir. I need to ask you questions, okay? Are you there right now?
I just got in the door with my new son-in-law. My son was here with her.
Sir, what I want you to do is walk outside and stay in the front, okay? You said she's stabbed in the back?
Yeah, I don't want to...
Yeah, if you don't...
I don't think she's... her face hit the ground and there's blood. There's a pool of blood.
Can you see if she's breathing?
No, she is not.
Do you think you can start CPR?
No.
Okay, what I want you to do is I want you to go outside. Everyone in the house, go outside and wait in the front, okay?
Haley, who says you're stabbed in the back?
Do you see anyone else in the home?
My son is here. He has Down syndrome. She sent me a text to meet me at Brew Kettle at 4:25. I didn't hear from her. I didn't expect this.
No, sir, I understand you're upset, but where's Kyle at in the home?
He's outside with Jeff, our son-in-law. You know, we've asked people to watch our frickin' area. We've had people attempt to break in just this week.
Sir,
I don't know what's going on in this city, but this is getting done here.
I understand you're upset, but can you give me your name, please?
No, you people dropped the...
Sir, can you just take a deep breath? Is there any...
This whole city's getting freaking taken over.
Sir, I understand you're upset, but I need you to stay focused, okay? You don't think you can perform CPR, correct?
She's in the kitchen. I can't believe this. We've had a break-in. All your things were stolen and missing. Where's she at? Just to the left. I saw this chair down.
You said she's in the kitchen? She is in the kitchen?
When was last time you were staying?
Sir...
About five, I got here. We got home about 3 minutes ago.
You said she's in the kitchen?
You saw her.
What's your
name? This morning, 7:30 a.m.
What's
so he's
your
talking
name?
To the cops there in the background.
Okay, what's your name?
We've had people trying to break in our house a lot. They flash our cameras. We're getting targeted, and I don't know by who's doing this, but I'm pissed.
Okay. Do you see the medics there or the police there yet?
Everyone's here.
Okay, go speak with the police officer. I'm going to disconnect with you, okay?
I can't believe this.
Could you go speak with the officer that's there?
I was trying to text her all time to go out to eat. It's our usual routine.
Sir, do you see the officer there?
What's that?
Do you see the officer?
I have two officers here.
Okay, go speak with them. I'll hang up with you.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's so much in that call.
There is a lot in that call. That is I've heard a lot of 911 calls on this show throughout my lifetime. That's strange. What's your take on this? 866 Yo Rover. First of all, it's obviously a very sad situation. I mean, you can't even imagine. I mean, you can think to yourself, what would I do in a situation like that, right?
But yes.
But you can't really imagine that until something like that happens to you. I found this guy's behavior extremely bizarre. Now, I feel bad saying that because his wife is dead, and I may be I may be 100% wrong. But man, I found that just bizarre.
I think everybody does. Right off the bat.
I mean, I haven't heard anyone else saying they find it bizarre.
No, anybody listening has to be like, oh.
First of all, your wife is laying there dead. It's just strange to me that you're immediately start throwing up. People have been trying to break into the house. Yeah, lots of people. They've all been trying to break into the house.
I think just anger and disbelief takes over, and you just lash out at whoever you can, and you're just mad at everything, and this person on the phone is just... You just don't know how you're going to react at all. So
you're right. You don't know how you're going to react, but I don't know as if you would immediately try to start setting up
somebody else.
And his alibi. Oh, I was with my brother-in-law or my son-in-law, and we just got back, and my wife was at home with her son. You know, I wasn't here. He's setting that up already in motion. Then he keeps bringing up the robberies. Oh, there's numerous robberies. I'm mad at that. This city's going to hell.
Sent me a text at 4:25.
Yeah, we were going to Brugger's Bagels. It was a lot of details he was dropping.
Yeah, brew kettle or whatever the hell that is. You're right. Almost over-explaining.
You know what I caught?
What's that?
When she fell, she hit her head.
Yeah, how does he know that?
Well, blood was coming out of her head, he said. But she's laying face down.
I don't know that. She could have been hit in the head with a hammer.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
That's another thing. There's so much in that call. When she hit her head, how do you know? You just walked in.
And there were, he said,
I'm guessing there's blood all over the place because she's been stabbed multiple times in the back. An untrained person, especially when you're freaked out like that, you don't know what. A lot of times I've heard 911 calls, they don't even know what the injury is. I mean, they don't know that it's a stab wound. How do you know it's a stab, not a shooting?
I always have this one that we go back to a lot. It's Judy Smith. In Akron area. Do you remember this one? She finds her son's head.
In the oven.
In the oven.
I do remember
this. Listen how
call.
She reacts.
Okay.
North Canton Emergency. Yes, this is Judy Smith. I'm at my son's trailer park.
Uh-huh.
And we just broke in, and it looks like he's in the bathroom, but his head's missing.
But what?
His head isn't there. I don't know. I know it sounds really weird, but...
Wait a minute. You're in his trailer, and you see him in the bathroom?
It looks like him. The legs do.
There...
I don't know. Could you just dispatch an officer?
Yeah, we'll send an officer. Tell.
All right, so. So you can hear her actually laughed in the beginning there. She's like, uh-huh, but his head's in the oven.
Crazy. She's laughing at her son's head.
Right.
And she's so disinterested.
You don't know how you're going to react, I suppose.
And she didn't do that? She was found innocent?
Oh, I looked at I think it was a neighbor or something.
Yeah, no, okay. She didn't have anything to do with that. It's probably... If I were to guess, it's probably, you know, this guy's probably not involved. But boy, that 911 call sure made you think about it.
She was a teacher. I'm sure she meets lots of different kids, and kids are stupid.
She's a sixth grade teacher.
Yeah.
Sixth graders aren't stabbing.
Sixth graders are going to come in and stab her?
No, but maybe somebody as they get older, they remember her. Who knows how long has she been a teacher? She's
25 years or something.
Okay, she's talked to a lot of different kids, and they might have... She might have angered one 20 years ago. Who knows?
Alicia, you're on Rover's Morning Glory, 866-YO-ROVER. Good morning, Alicia.
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to say I love you guys, and I listen to you guys all the time.
We love you, too. Thank you.
I can't believe I got through. I never thought this would work.
Go.
Go ahead.
Okay, I think in situations like these, I feel like when it's chaotic, people just act strange, kind of like with the Las Vegas shooting with the brother. I think just under stress, you don't know how someone's going to act, and people just ramble because they're not understanding what they're seeing also, you know?
That is true. That's you're 100% right about that, which makes me feel bad for even bringing up a suspicion about it because... She's right. You don't know how you're going to react, but it's just so weird. This call. Am I overanalyzing this?
I hope it's not him, but my instinct says it's him, and I think he could be setting it up throughout the year because they said
that's what I thought too.
Intruders, right?
Yeah.
So like he could set off car alarms. They said they had keys missing throughout the year. He could easily do that. To plant this, and then eventually when she does die, he goes, oh, we had intruders. Check your 911 calls. We've called you guys four times in the past year about a robbery.
That was exactly my mindset, that some keys were stolen from her car, and they were taking the little remote control and locking and unlocking the doors and setting the alarm off. Who would do that? Who would steal keys, come back, and do that?
I don't know.
is weird to do. I remember
so weird.
When my friend moved, we had his garage door opener from his old house.
Yeah.
And we just drive by and open his garage door all the time.
And freak out the people that live
there. Yeah,
you
see these people freaking out, not understanding why.
I have a lot of people on the phone who want to talk about this. So don't go anywhere. 866-YO-ROVER, 866-967-6837. We'll have another pair of tickets to Holy Moses Matrimony coming up this hour. So sometime within the next 63 minutes, you will be able to win tickets to Holy Moses Matrimony, which is sold out, brought to you by Coors Light, the tickets from Christie's Cabaret. Join Jeffrey as he renews his vows to Mary Elizabeth with a special performance by Pop Evil next month at House of Blues. It's sold out immediately, but you can be there. Again, within the next 63 minutes, I will have your tickets. Could be right after this. We just don't know. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory. Charlie.
He has no sex drive.
Is that a crime?
Wears makeup.
That's a little weird. Yeah.
And has had more butt buddies than he can count.
My butt was up, so then I went down.
His crooked eyes are the straightest thing about him.
We're honest with who we are.
Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
We were talking about this story where a man came in, found his wife murdered on the floor. He called 911. We played the 911 call. It's unusual, but we don't know whether that is just because no one knows how they would react in that situation, or is he somehow involved? Because it was a lot of setup, like, oh, we've had a lot of break-ins in the past. We've called you guys before. I had a text at 4:25 to meet her for lunch. Just seemed like not your normal reaction. Like, again, no one knows how you're going to react in a situation like this. I think that if I, you know, you try to put yourself in the shoes of someone like this. If I came home and B2, my fiance, were laying in a pool of blood on the kitchen floor, I said I would be scared that you don't know who has done this. Are they still in the house? You come in the front door or however you come in. Maybe they heard you coming in, so they're hiding in the pantry, or they're hiding in a bedroom down the hall.
You got to clear the house, right?
I don't know what you would do.
Maybe possibly quickly do that. And then once you kind of do CPR, I would think if it was somebody I cared about, even if they looked dead, I would still try CPR.
That's what I was thinking. Like, even if the person looked dead, I think you would be in shock. You would be saying, hurry, 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 get an ambulance here. They may be dead as a doornail, but you don't want to believe that necessarily. And you want to hold out hope that they may be able to revive the person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Especially if you're not around dead people all the time. Like, if I found someone on the floor of my house, I'd be like, hurry up, get here, get here, get here. I mean, I've seen stories on the news. They revive people. You don't know how.
You can't tell by looking. Are they dead 12 hours or 2 minutes? Sometimes. Or even still some life in them and you can't.
I even remember a story where some police went into a murder scene. It was a double murder scene. And they are processing the scene. They have the crime scene technicians there. There are two bodies in there, and they're taking all the pictures. Maybe they're doing probably not a chalk outline, but in my imagination, they're doing a chalk outline just because that's what you see on TV. And they're in there for like an hour. And then one of them goes, wait a second. This one is actually, I thought I saw a finger twitch. Oh, that one's, and then the chick's like, she was alive.
Don't they remove the body?
No, they leave it there while they do their investigation. They don't want to touch it. They don't remove it.
Nobody checked the body.
Apparently not. No one checked. I remember this story. This is about two or 3 years ago. I don't remember where it happened. But I do remember that the body was, she was alive. They then call for the medics. Now, I don't know if she ended up surviving or not, but.
That's crazy.
She was alive. And they were in there for like an hour, hour and a half, just walking all around, all over the body and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm saying. You'd think you would be like, hurry up, get here. I need an ambulance. Hurry, hurry, right?
Yes. At least try.
Jeff, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Jeff.
Yo, Rover.
Yo, what's happening?
Hey, yeah, I'm from Charlotte myself, and there's a public forum online that this woman posted in for several months beforehand about break-ins and her house being broken into and seeing intruders with, hoodies and stuff. So, I wouldn't think the husband set a lot of this up because, you actually have the wife posting, saying all this stuff.
See, I think exactly, maybe I'm just cynical. I think exactly the opposite. I think that if you want to kill someone, you start laying the groundwork months in advance. You start saying there's break-ins, stuff is missing, this and that, in order to, if you do kill the wife, that then you go, look, we've been having these break-ins. There's someone's after us. That's the way that I would take that. I would
if the husband did that, but it was the wife's name posting this stuff. So
can it be him under her name?
Could, but she could also just be posting that because
it's happening.
Because he's been, hey, call the police, whatever. I mean, because it's happening. He could be setting that whole thing up.
Look at what I told
you. I'm not saying that he is.
No, I know.
I mean, I have no way of knowing. I heard that 911 call. I go, that's weird.
Look what I told you last week on a public forum and social media, that there were parents saying, hey, beware, there are break-ins in this area, which was right by where you live.
Right.
So that's what you do. I heard this, and then you go on social media and you say, this is happening. So maybe it was happening and she just reported on it.
George in Columbus, you're on Rover This Morning Glory. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Rover.
Hey.
Hey, if someone is attempting to break into this guy's house, you know, over and over again, why doesn't he do something about it? Like take you and Dieter, for example. Like, Dieter sleeps with his gun. You admitted that you have a gun in every part of your house, and you have, like, a really good security system that goes off when the cat walks by it. That's how sensitive it is. So basically, if this guy is in fear of somebody, or if he has admitted that somebody has tried to break into his house before, wouldn't he move? Wouldn't he get a security system? Wouldn't he do something to prevent that from happening?
That's a good point.
You would think. Now, we don't know. Obviously, I don't know the details. Maybe the guy did. I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they did do all of this. In fact, in the 911 call, there's some mention about
cameras.
Slashing cameras, whatever that means. I don't know what that means exactly, but one would definitely think, though, that if you are being targeted and you're in an area of frequent break-ins, or especially if you thought that your home was being targeted specifically, at that point, you pull out all the stops. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter. You're in debt, whatever. You put that on the credit card. You get the best security system you can, cameras. You get a gun. You go all out, and maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. I guess as they investigate that, we will find out. But
yeah, my sister a couple of months ago got her car stolen. So the first thing out of the driveway.
Like out of the driveway?
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding me.
First thing they did, cameras all around the house. They're like, that was once. They're like, we're not messing around with this.
Of course.
You got to think, four times they got calls of a burglary, you would put cameras up.
How? What time? This happened in the middle of the night?
Yeah, middle of the night. Just some kids broke in, stole the car, and then left.
How'd they get the car started? Did she leave the keys in there? Typical female move, not to
Shut
be sexist.
Shut you pie hole.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know if she told me how. If they had the keys or they jump started it. It's not a brand new car.
Yeah.
It's an older car. But anyway, they left it on the highway. They just did a joyride and beat it up, and then they found it on the highway.
Catch the kids?
No. They got away. I mean, they couldn't, as of right now, they didn't find them.
Huh.
Alexis, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Alexis.
CLY.
Arbe.
I totally agree that this thing is just a big setup. From the moment that he called 911, he was rattling off 100 reasons why something happened. And that's not what a husband does. And I understand. I'm kind of emotionless myself. I've called 911 before. I was very calm, but I mean, it's part of my nature. Mm-hmm. But this guy isn't calm. He's angry about something totally different. It's not like...
Yeah, he's angry at the police. He's like, oh, this city's going to hell. Your wife's laying dead on the kitchen floor. Like,
this is, by the way,
your wife of 25 years.
He sounds like he's pissed at, like, the cable company or something. Like,
damn it, you said you'd be here between 2 and 4, and it's 4:15. God, what the hell's wrong with you guys?
But I believe that this may have been like he could have been the person that was posting stuff on Facebook and saying that it was her too. It doesn't have to be that it was her that was reporting all this stuff. He could have been doing it as a guise to say that he was her.
Now, all this being said, I do feel bad. What if we're wrong though? What if this guy? And it's entirely possible this guy may have nothing to do. We don't have the facts. I don't have the facts. The police know much more about this than I do, obviously. If this guy had nothing to do with it, I feel bad even calling this into question. But
hey, I felt bad about a lot of things in my life. And if this is another one, then oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. We're not on a jury. All right. Thank you, Alexis. So if you had to bet, Dieter, you're a betting man. Right now, we make a $500 bet. Would you say he's involved or not involved?
I'm saying guilty. To me,
guilty, just, already guilty.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's just what my gut says. Just on the call, I watch a lot of Dateline.
Yeah.
Love the show. And on the 911 calls, if they're trying to get the heat off them already trying to pinpoint, there's a guy at work that's harassing her. There's a lot of break-ins around here. Already setting that up in the call, you're trying to deflect it away from you,
mm-hmm.
usually guilty. And I hope I'm wrong, man. But
the only way I could see that happening is if you come home, wife dead on the ground, if there was someone that had been, you know, targeting her, someone that, you know, maybe an ex-husband or something like that, that's been harassing her for the past year and just won't leave you alone, blah, blah, blah. that to me would make sense that you immediately say that during a 911 call. You know, like, God, you know, this guy, he's been harassing us. Frank Smith, that seems like that would make a lot more sense to me, that you just want to get that out there quickly, right?
Right. But yeah. Also, your wife's there.
I just, Rover, I saved a second 911 call.
Oh, good. Who's this from?
Same guy.
Oh, he calls
same
back?
Guy?
Yeah. Hey, I just want to let you know.
I don't know in what order they were placed, but this is a second 911 call.
Okay. Attorney X. I'll get to that here. Attorney X, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Attorney X.
Yo, Roger.
Yo.
Hey, Peter.
Yo.
Raw, Rega, Alpha, Tau, Omega.
Right.
ATL your for brother? Life. Okay.
Are you okay? You
was that the secret code?
I went to the same school. I went to Mount Union.
Oh nice.
Right. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I was in the same frat as him. It used to be cool back in the day, but then he joined, so.
I understand.
I never heard of you.
All downhill from there,
go
yes.
Go ahead.
Went all downhill like this phone call. Go on, Attorney X.
I honestly think we do not have to prejudge this guy. If we do prejudge this guy, every jury is going to be tampered. I mean, it's going to be horrible for him.
Well, I don't think anyone's prejudging. I think people are saying it sounds weird.
Dieter
it's suspicious
said he's guilty.
To me. Okay, well, Dieter said that, right?
You asked him.
That's why I said, thank God Dieter's not on the jury.
The only person on your show that has actually been reasonable that I normally don't like is Charlie.
Charlie, what do you think?
I agree 100% with what this guy's saying. I don't think saying that guy's guilty is good.
I didn't say he was guilty.
I don't think it is.
I said I don't know. Now, if you were to bet, Charlie, $500, no, who are you gonna? What side are you gonna take?
I don't think the husband has anything to do with this whatsoever. He walks in, you're in shock. You don't know how you're gonna react if you have been placing phone calls for a while about break-ins. I don't know how I'd react. You might react very angry at the police at that exact moment.
You think if you came in and you found Krista dead on the floor or just stabbed, first of all,
I would be
I don't know if I'd be mad or if I'd be super depressed immediately. I don't know how I'd react. I don't know because I've never been through a tragedy like that. I don't know. I don't think anybody could say how exactly you're going to react at all. But in the second 911 call, you'll hear him again. He even seems even more angry.
So we don't know which one came first.
No,
probably.
Can't find
I would assume the one we're going to play now probably came in first. Because why? Once the cops show up, why would you call 911 again? I don't think you would. So,
but they make you hang on the phone, Rover. They say, "Don't hang up. Stay on with me." I think he'd call back to say, "Hey, I just want to get it clear. There were intruders the past year."
4:25. Did I tell you 4:25 p.m. I got a text message to meet at Brew Kettle.
Yeah, get that in your notes. Okay, see you later.
Here is this other 911 call from this case. Let's listen.
911. What city is the emergency in?
Please come to 174 Blazing Star. I think my wife's dead. Someone.
So this is the first call. This
I don't
has
know
be the
because
first
then, in it he says he's already called an ambulance. So I don't know.
Well, that's what he said in the other one. He said people are already on the way. He said that in the other 911 call.
He was talking to paramedics in the other one.
Yeah, just listen and try. I don't understand what you're
talking about. He was talking to 911. What are you talking?
They were in the house. He said
somebody was in the house.
Yeah. They said, where's your wife? And he goes, over on the left.
You're talking about in person. He was talking to the paramedics.
So the other call came in second. It must have.
Okay.
This could change everything.
Well, let's listen to this. I don't know which order these came in, so let's be.
911, what city is the emergency in?
Please come to one.
By the way, just when I call 911.
You don't want Hannibal Buress to answer the phone.
I mean, this guy seems.
He just woke
again,
up from
it's
a
just,
nap.
It's just, I know he's like. Oh, phone's ringing again.
This is 911.
911.
What's your emergency?
What can I do for you? Right? Or am I just overanalyzing everything?
Like
he's groggy.
Slow motion. Wake up.
It's like when you go into like a Subway sandwich store at 8:58 when they close at 9. And you know that attitude that they're like,
you shouldn't do that in the first place.
Already closed up the lettuce bin. That's what this guy's like. Ugh. Phone ringing again.
911. What city is the emergency in?
Please come to 174 Blazing Star. I think my wife's dead. Someone.
Tell me.
We've had people breaking into our fucking house.
That's weird. That's weird. I'm telling you right now. I've listened to 5 seconds of the call. That's weird.
What would a cop say? Would a cop agree with you? A police officer that has way more experience than we do.
I don't know. I guess maybe we'll talk to one. But, I mean, just within 5 seconds, this guy may not be involved. I will feel horrible if he's not. But I'm just pointing this out, that to say, hey, I think my wife is dead. People have been breaking into my house for the past year. I saw a guy in a hoodie, Hispanic, male, 22.
He didn't say that.
No, but I mean.
Okay, play it.
Now someone fucking killed her.
Sir, tell me the city you need to talk to.
Strongsville, Ohio.
Okay, you need to be transferred. Don't hang up.
Okay, we wait. Ambulance is coming and we were waiting for her. She said.
How did he get the ambulance there? Leagueway or something? Ambulance is coming? How does he know that? How did that go down? You call the ambulance company first?
No.
Well, he said that, though, right?
He's just stuttering. I don't think...
This is the first call, by the way. It's got to be the first call.
Well, not if the ambulance is already coming.
Yeah, the ambulance is coming.
This is the second call.
And he doesn't say Leeway Ambulance. I think he's just
ambulance is coming.
Well, okay, let me... Hold on.
Bill, Ohio.
Okay, you need to be transferred. Don't hang up.
Okay, Leagueway Ambulance is coming.
Leagueway Ambulance is coming.
Is that an actual ambulance company?
I don't know. Look it up.
No, what's the son's name?
David...
Is he saying, like, whatever that kid's name is, the ambulance is coming?
Oh, like, I think it was Kyle. Because did the first 911 operator know his name?
Well, I think they edited parts of that call to take names and locations
out.
No,
Kyle is the special needs kid, I believe.
City you need to talk to.
Strongsville, Ohio.
Okay, you need to be transferred. Don't hang up.
Okay, we wait. Ambulance is coming and... We were waiting for her. She sent me.
Oh. Rude.
911, what's the city of your emergency?
Strongsville, Ohio. We have people on the way already.
What's the address?
784 Blazing Star. I think someone killed my wife.
That goes into this call right here, goes into what we
so
played already.
Hers.
Is it?
Yeah.
Sure? So they positive. Yeah, 100% positive.
I don't see. Do you guys see Leagueway Ambulance Service? I don't know what that is.
Nick, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man.
Hey, so I knew the daughter of the wife that got stabbed.
Yeah.
And I went to school with her. I haven't seen her in a while, but I know that the daughter and the stepson were going to get married in the next week.
Okay.
In
the next week?
They were about to get married. Really.
Timing, my God.
Yeah, she's like pregnant and stuff too. So,
oh my Lord.
I was talking to my mom, and she worked with the lady that knows them, and they said they were having a lot of problems at home, especially between the stepson and the mom. So I don't know apparently he's into some shady stuff. So I don't know if he, I don't know if the dad's about anything about it, but it could also be eating into what the stepson's doing. Mm-hmm. I don't know all the facts, but that's what you know.
Is the stepson the one that was home when it happened?
No, the kid that was home when it happened, I think, has Down syndrome.
Yeah, he said that. I'm wondering, is that the kid he's talking about?
Well, I don't think the Down syndrome kid is into shady stuff.
No,
I'm asking this guy that.
He doesn't know. He's speculating.
Talking about the one that's engaged to the woman.
I didn't know if he was there, but I don't. Maybe somebody's coming at like. Like I said, he's into some shady stuff, so I don't know.
Your stepson can't be engaged to your daughter. He's talking about a stepson here.
He's talking about
son-in-law.
Yeah, son-in-law.
Okay,
that's
son-in-law.
Sorry, I said the wrong word.
That's all right.
This is all allegedly. We don't know the caller. We don't know the family. This is just all speculation. Just to get that out there.
I know. I get it. Officer X, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Officer X.
Good morning, Rover. How you doing?
Hey, man.
How you doing, Dieter?
Yo!
Doogie.
Morning.
Good morning. So, at least a police officer's perspective on this, just in the tone of his voice and what exactly he was saying, it has set up written all over it. I can tell you that normally, when people are not telling the truth, they involuntarily say things, especially in like in confessions and things of that nature, that ended up coming back to get them later. In this circumstance, it blatantly sounds like that's what happened.
I've read in things that people provide, when they're lying, they provide too much information. They provide things that they think are going to substantiate what they're saying, but it's just more, like if I'm telling Dieter something, I'm going to, if Dieter says, where were you last night? I'll go, I was at home. If I'm lying about it, I go, I was at home and I saw my neighbor's blue car in the driveway watching American Idol and, you know, whatever. You start going into a lot of extra detail.
The Jeffrey.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Right. No, like when you start in those instances of 911 calls, I mean, this happens actually a lot. 911 calls, people go, you know, they incriminate themselves quickly with some of the things they say over 911. So believe me, those 911 calls are going to be analyzed.
Have you ever seen someone where you think maybe the person is involved, your gut instinct, but then you turned out it was wrong and they were just reacting in a way that...
Well, sure. There's, you know, obviously there's outliers in every situation, but I mean, yeah, that has happened, but you know, we're police officers and we hear that and, you know, we think it's weird. So, you know, kind of a layman, if they're feeling the same way or hearing the same thing, you know, there's probably some truth to it. You know what I mean? So
right.
I think those conversations are going to be reviewed thoroughly, probably by FBI and other agencies that have voice stress, things of that nature. I'm sure they're going to ask this guy if he would like to submit to a polygraph. And
someone said that the guy was just fired. I don't know if that's true or not. That was a text message I got. That would certainly add to the, you know, discussion as well, I think. All right. Thank you, Officer X. I've got to take a break. We do have Holy Moses Matrimony tickets to give away before 9 a.m. You can join us at the sold-out show. See Pop Evil and Jeffrey renewing his vows. The tickets are compliments of Christie's Cabaret. I'll tell you how you can even win more tickets from them as well. The entire event brought to you by Coors Light. Stand by. Tickets coming up. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Is a real problem.
The planet has a fever.
Too bad it hasn't stopped Doogie from becoming an ice cold bitch.
Rude.
Welcome back to Roper's Morning Glory.
Data, I'm going to need your detective skills in a minute. Stand by for that. We do have Holy Moses Matrimony tickets to give away within the next 20 minutes. Carl, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Rover. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, man, what's happening, bud?
Hey, I was calling about that 911 caller. You know, I had a situation. Mine was a little bit different. I had a son pass away. You know, it was a SIDS. But, you know, you never know how you're going to react in that situation. You know, when I found him, you know, obviously I freaked out for a minute, you know, and that whole scene is something I'll never forget, you know? So for him to know some details about how she got stabbed in the back, I don't think is that far-fetched.
I'll tell you why I find it strange, because I've seen many, many, many 911 calls, heard many, and they don't know what the injury is. They'll say they were shot or stabbed or whatever, because it's just, there's a bloody body. And, you know, so to say stabbed, how do they know not shot?
That's true. I get that. You know, but then right after that, you know, I had to go get my phone to call 911, and I have other children in the house, you know, and instantly, like, you kind of go into survival mode, you know what I mean? And I think as guys, I think it's mainly for guys, you know, we're the problem solvers, you know? So I started going into survival mode. I got the kids out of the house.
And things start floating through your head, you know. And for my situation, I didn't know who did it. You know what I mean? It was a natural thing. So, you know, I had a lot of, mine was like, why, like, you know, to God or whoever's out there, you know, that was a lot of my anger. You know what I mean? But I think, you know, everybody grieves differently and goes into shock. You know what I mean? So I don't think it's that, a lot of people's first reaction is anger. You know what I mean? A lot of emotions, I think, filter down into anger. And so looking for someone to blame, I don't think is that far-fetched. You know?
I don't know how I would react on a call like that, because I don't like to show any kind of emotion around anyone.
Well, exactly.
I don't even like when I go to see a movie and I leave the movie. I don't like discussing the movie with that about you. Until I'm all the way out in the cocoon of my own vehicle.
That's so funny. Why? Don't ask me any questions.
Yeah, I don't like other people
judging your opinion.
That's right.
You give your opinion for 4 hours a day.
Yeah, I know. Give my opinion when I'm paid, not for free. So, Robert,
I saved you a third 911 call.
No.
It's the first one made, for sure. This is the first 911 call. This is from the son-in-law.
I heard that one. And is there a lot in it? There's not much in it, I don't think, is there?
I mean, it's another 911 call.
Right. But is there any additional detail in it?
No, but it's the first one made.
Okay,
you can see that he has a lot different
reaction.
Yeah, reaction.
She worked up.
I'll play that in just a moment. Carl, when you walked in, how old was your son, by the way?
A year and a half.
Oh, sorry.
18 months old.
And they still have SIDS at a year and a half? I thought that was like 6 months or so.
It's up to two years.
Up to two? I mean, they basically classified it as SIDS. What it actually was is there was a birth defect in his brain that there was no way for anybody to know. He had actually been to the doctor like 2 weeks before that and, you know, had a checkup and everything, and he was fine. And there was just some birth defect in his brain that through the night, his brain just told his lungs to stop working. So he just, you know, just stopped breathing in his sleep.
Did you hear anything on the monitor? That gave you...
I just saw Dieter mouth guilty. He thinks Carl did it.
Come on.
Carl, that's got to be horrific. The worst thing in the world that you could walk in on, I assume.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's tough, you know, and I think my saving grace was, you know, I had two other children to look out for, and so that takes your focus off of, you know, if it would have just been my only child, I probably would have broke down, because I definitely did have a breakdown when nobody was around. But then when the kids are around, it's game time. You know, you got to be strong for, you know, my two daughters that were 9 and 6 at the time, you know. So, you know, you just got to trudge along. But I think that helped me out a lot. And I had a lot of support, a lot of people around me, huddled around me and helped the family.
And you're expecting to get them up for the day or something, I guess, right?
Right. Well, what happened is I went in and I looked in on him like an hour before, and I just looked in the door and he was still sleeping. So I went back downstairs, and then my fiance, I was downstairs making crafts with the kids. You know, we were building these little bumblebee things, and I hear my fiance yell from upstairs. And as soon as she yelled, I knew something was wrong. So I go up there and she's like, look, and I look in the room. And I'm like, what? And then I noticed that Benjamin hadn't moved. He was in the exact same position as when I checked in on him. So then I went in there and I picked him up. And, I mean, he was gone. You know, I mean, there was
no
bringing him back. You know, and I picked him up and, you know, I start freaking out and I yell, why? And then I go to get the cell phone and then I see my other daughters and they heard the commotion. So they were obviously upset. So that's when I went into, let's fix this. Let's get, you know what I mean? And that's when I got the kids out of the house, made the call. And things that, you know, all kinds of stuff float through your head that you wouldn't think of, you know, like I would never hurt my children, but I know there's a lot of sick people out there, you know, so I'm thinking, oh, the cops are going to think we did it, you know, and that's the reaction they had. You know, I was on 911 and they had me giving him CPR, and I told him, I said, you know what I mean? He's passed, but she made, you know, I had to give him CPR. And when the cops came in, the first cop was a real prick. You know what I mean? He's like, get away from the body. And you know what I mean? And then that's kind of, I just backed off, and then stuff started hitting me, and that's when I started yelling, why? And, you know, but it really didn't hit me till later after all the cops left and I'm in my kitchen crying. You know, the emotion didn't set in until after everything had kind of.
How long ago did this happen, Carl?
This was 3.5 years ago.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry for that.
Sorry.
And thank you for the call. That's got to be one of the worst things, you know.
Oh, I would die.
Yeah, I mean, the kid's safe at home. What could go wrong?
I just got an anonymous text from somebody in the police force and said that he said we studied statement analysis, both written and verbal. And one thing we always noted was that how many times the callers used the word I. So if you look at the pronouns, how many times he refers to himself as opposed to the victim, it's very telling.
Uh-huh.
And in this person's opinion, this guy did it.
So if it's I was over here, I saw this, I, as opposed to she's on the...
The victim.
Yeah. Hmm.
But that would go through your head, though. If you walked in and you saw someone stabbed to death, the first... Not the first thought. You like you clear the house, like you said. But you,
I don't even know if I clear the house. I might get the hell out of there. Dude.
You would,
I might be in the driveway, you know, yelling to my neighbors. I don't know if I would go through the house.
You know that thought would cross your head, though. They're going to think I did this.
I don't know
if that would be the first thought that would cross my mind.
But it would
certainly enter in. Sometime later, like when the cops show up, you go, I got to show that I wasn't involved in this at all, because they always look at the husband first.
Always.
And it's a stabbing, too, which is like, it's different than a shooting, I feel like.
Well, who breaks into a house to stab someone in the back?
Well, unless she surprised him, and then she's running away.
How do you get stabbed in the back?
She's running away to call 911, and he stabs her and then leaves. I mean, there's a possibility there.
And can't they tell pretty easily if the husband did it or not? Because he was at a restaurant.
Covered with blood or something.
Well, he's also at a restaurant with the son-in-law.
Yeah, but if you did
I mean, that
it
does certainly,
leaves,
I know, maybe. I mean, you're absolutely right about that.
Look at the camera footage. Is he at the restaurant? He's there. Okay.
No. But if you do it before you leave, and then you say, well, I was at the restaurant.
Well, the son-in-law lived at the house, too. You think you'd notice.
You'd think that the perpetrator is going to have blood on them, correct?
Yeah.
And shoe prints are going to be around. I mean, I would just...
I think you could tell pretty easily.
Yeah.
They'll figure it out.
I mean, maybe this guy's not involved in the least. Because you're right. I mean, you'd think that there would be...
I think you'd find out within a half hour if he was involved or not. I mean, just look at him. Is he covered in blood? Did he just take a shower?
Becca in Dayton. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Becca.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing all right. What's happening?
Hey, I really feel for that last caller, but I wanted to say not to write this guy off as having done it.
No.
If he was a frequent flyer with the dispatch office, you know, someone that calls a lot, whether it's like a junkie or a grandma who calls every Saturday, you know, if he's calling there a lot because some sort of trespassing or harassment thing, that would explain the dum-de-dum, what are you calling for from the 911 dispatch, because they know who's calling. And then he's just, like, so pissed off because it happens. And then he calls back or he's transferred. So that second call, he's just like, yep, she's dead. You know, and he's not really excited anymore.
She's
he's
right.
Like, oh, it happened. Oh, my gosh.
She's right.
May be right.
I feel bad
even, you know, bringing it up. But I just, look, I got to bring it up. A guy, Flick, said, he sent me a text message. He says, it's effing disgusting what you guys are doing. You're in the media, Rover. Who the F are you to speculate and throw out non-factual information on the air? You should be ashamed of yourself. It's what I do every day for the past 20 years. NBC News over here? I mean, I just comment on things I see and my take on things. I don't know how many times I could say, I don't know. I don't have the information. This is just weird to me. What more of a disclaimer do you want? Dan, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Dan.
Yo, Rover, how's it going?
Hey, man.
Hey, a while back, you told a story about how you had a girl in your house and her husband had just walked in the house and you guys were just nonchalantly walking around. You didn't act like a normal person would act in that situation. So were you lying?
Well, I don't know as if we were nonchalantly walking around. I don't know where you got that from.
Well, you would ask Dieter, if you were with a girl and a random guy just walked into your house, how would you react?
I'd probably attack him.
How would you react, Uzi or Charlie?
I go, what are you doing in my house?
I'd run outside or attack.
Well,
and how about Snips?
But that's not the story that Rover said.
Yeah.
And I knew the story years before he confided in me, so I knew right when it had happened.
Well, wait a sec. So
that's not what he said.
The guy comes into my house. I don't immediately attack Dieter. Like, you just attack right off the bat. I told the guy to get out.
Yeah, but if I see a stranger...
Get the F out of here. First of all, I knew who it was immediately. I mean, I'd never met the guy, but the girl said, oh, that's my husband. So it wasn't like a random guy coming into the house. I think you might react... If I didn't know who it was at all, you might react a little bit differently. But, I mean, I screamed at the guy to get out of the house, and then I ran downstairs and got my gun. What more would you want from me?
I don't know. I just don't. I think it's rough to be saying that. Nobody's ever been in that situation where you walk in and find a body laying there. Oh. So I think it's hard for you guys to say how he should have reacted.
Sure. No, I get that.
I think you guys should get a 911 operator on the phone, not a police officer that we don't even know is a real police officer. I mean, the 911 operators are the ones that would have a better idea. And I think this happens a lot where people are just in shock, like Charlie was saying, and they don't realize what they're saying. And I just think it's rough for you guys to be going on the air, especially with it being this close to home. I mean, I know you keep on saying that, yes, we're just speculating here. I don't know the answer, but.
Why should I be? Look, everyone, I assume, is talking about this case. If you're from this area, this has come up in conversation. I can't be the only person that thought to themselves, that's a little bit odd.
How would you have felt when you got arrested for the fireworks thing with Charlie and Alan Cox on the afternoon show just went in the day after and said, you know, those Rover Morning Glory guys.
Do you think people in the media weren't talking about that?
They were.
I mean, all over the place, people in the media were talking about that. So, what are you going to do? How would you stop that? That's what happens. I mean, sure, I saw stuff on TV that was complete BS in that particular case. But what are you going to do? You wait to get the facts out there as best that you can. A lot of people, I think, are probably thinking the same thing I am. I don't know why I should not talk about it like a normal human being might talk about it. All right. Thank you, Dan. Let's see here. I want your detective skills on this, Dieter.
Well, you still have the 911 call.
Oh.
I think we're done with this. We done with it?
Oh.
I mean, there is a lot of. Is this any good? Is this worth?
No, I'm just saying that it's a different attitude.
Okay, so this is the who is this?
This is the son-in-law.
This is the son-in-law calling. We're talking about this case. This woman who was murdered, stabbed in the home. The husband of 25 years made a 911 call that people are questioning. Like, that's sort of weird. Here is another 911 call. This is the first call that was made, and this is by the son-in-law who
is at dinner with the husband.
Okay, here.
Southwest, this 911. What's the address of your emergency?
Somebody's been attacked in my house.
Somebody's been what?
Attacked.
Oh, what's the address?
I'm home. For Blazing Star Drive.
Blazing Star Drive? They attacked who? Who was attacked? Someone get my fires.
Mel Pleskovic was attacked.
He was attacked by whom? Do you know?
We just came home. She's on the kitchen floor. I took her son and my daughter outside. Her husband is inside with her now.
So the husband attacked her?
No. We just came home.
You came home and found her injured on the floor?
We found her in the kitchen. She's not moving. I took the kids and I walked outside. I didn't know.
So did she look like she was beaten or what?
She has blood all around her. I didn't look. I grabbed the child and left.
So this seems like a completely...
That's how the ambulance was
run-of-the-mill 911 call. What happened to her? I don't know. Just a lot of blood.
Right.
Not
stabbing.
She stabbed. She hit her head on the floor.
But 911 had already been called, so the husband was probably frustrated.
No, this is the first call he's saying.
I know. So by the time the husband calls, he's pissed. He's angry at the police.
Well,
so that's.
I guess time will tell. Adam in Palm Beach, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Adam.
Hey, Rover.
Hey.
Yeah, Yeah, when I was about 17, I'm walking down the street at 2 in the morning, and a guy comes out of his house and gets in his car, and he's coming out of his driveway, and I'm at the intersection. And the driveway comes right out to the intersection, and I was trying to flag him down to say, hey, man, you're dragging a bag of leaves. But he went right by me, and when the car went by me, I said, man, that looks like feet sticking out from the car. And I thought, nah. I walk across the street, and then he about 10 houses down, the noise stops, and I said, there's a body laying in the road. I said, man, that looks like a body. So I start walking back down towards the body. Sure enough, there's a face down, there's a body, arms all twisted up. I could tell it was dead, and it's right in front of the McDonald's house, which is a bunch of brothers I know. So I knock on the door and say, hey, man, there's a body on the street. And they're, no, I said, please, go look. There's a body on the street. Sure enough, they go out and they look. So we call the police. We're all standing there waiting for the cops to come. As we're standing there, the guy drives back by. He had tied the body underneath the car with an extension cord, tied the lady's neck to the axle of the car. I guess he was going to drag her around until she disappeared or what, I don't know. Anyways, so it's a short street, and the guy comes from the other direction, and the cop comes around on the other end of the street. We're all out in the middle of the street. I'm going, that's the guy. We're pointing at the car. The guy casually drives right by the cop. The cop's about two houses into the street. So he backs up real fast, Rockford style, and whips his car backwards out into the main road, and the cop car stalls and doesn't start. And the guy just drives away casually.
Did they eventually catch the guy?
Oh, yeah. That they definitely did. What turned out was it was his bookie, and he stabbed her on a Friday like 25 times, had his girlfriend over for dinner on Saturday night, and then Sunday night decided to get rid of the body, and he didn't expect some hopped-up kid at 2 in the morning to be walking by.
What a horrible way to dispose of a body.
Wow.
To tie it with an extension cord to the axle of your car and drag it down the street. What
in the
hell?
Aerial shots, you could see the skid mark right out of the driveway, right up to the body. I don't care how far he dragged it. It would have been easy to follow.
Yeah, I mean, what in the world? What a dumbass.
Why not put it in the trunk?
Well, you know that there is forensic evidence that could be found in the trunk. I mean, we know that, but that's a much better idea than trying to drag it. I mean, down the street.
Well, the kicker was that I'm sitting there. I live about 5-6 blocks away, and like, now the guy that didn't catch him. And I keep saying, hey, man, will somebody give me a ride home? You know, because I'm afraid. And, God, I'm the only guy, person who's seen the guy. And then now this is like all happened at 1, 2 in the morning. And about 5 in the morning rolls around. It's still dark. And I call the detective's bluff after them, you know, telling my story over and over. I said, hey, man, I'm just going to walk home, okay? And the guy looked, oh, sorry for my language.
That's all right.
And so I'm walking home. And my neighborhood's kind of like a bunch of dead-end streets. And so every time I'm walking home, every time I see headlights coming down the street, I'd run and jump in the bushes.
Yeah, I bet. Guy. Yeah. No, I would, too.
He was a real tiny little guy, mousy, little weirdo. But you know, I didn't know that at the time, and I was, you know, scared out of my
prison. Sure, I get you.
And my mother worked for the police department. In the morning, they said, a passive buyer, and I was like, hey, Mom, that's me.
Wow. Well, Adam saw a murderer. Thank you, Adam. I do have to take a break, but before I do that, how about this?
Dearly beloved, win your way into the sold-out wedding party of the year.
The more the merrier.
Right now, be caller 30 at 1-866-YO-ROVER. That's 1-866-YO-ROVER. 667-6837 and get an invitation for you and your plus one to witness Holy Moses matrimony.
Holy Moses!
With Jeffrey and Mary Elizabeth.
Still married to her, so I'm rolling with it.
Happening Saturday, November 18th at the House of Blues.
Cheaper to keep her.
More chances to win all week in the 7 and 8 o'clock hours. Brought to you by Christie's Cabaret and Rover's Morning Glory.
Good luck to you. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Snitzer went to school with hopes of one day directing feature films.
That's not it, man.
Now look at him. He's directing fecal films.
Yes. I'm salivating. Get all over the board here. Sorry.
Rover's Morning Glory.
We will have more opportunities for you to join us at Holy Moses Matrimony tomorrow and Friday, 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. hours. The tickets are brought to you by Christie's Cabaret. For another opportunity to win, stop by a Christie's Cabaret. Go to christiescabaret.com. You can register there at a box that's right at the front door, and they're going to pick a winner from those entries. The entire thing is brought to you by Coors Light. It's happening Saturday, November 18th, the House of Blues, Pop Evil. Everyone from the show, it's going to be a fun time. Who knows what in the hell is going to happen at Holy Moses Matrimony? Is it going to happen? Did Mary Elizabeth, did she get wind, Jeffrey, of any of the stuff in Louisville?
So far, no.
Okay.
So far, so good.
So far, so good.
Fans telling her at the event.
Yeah, it does worry me.
No one's going to say anything. She's not going to be mingling.
Our lips are sealed. Our fans.
My job is to protect Mary at that night. So.
What are you going to put those?
You don't think people are going to start chanting everything Jeffrey's ever done?
No, don't be a dick. This is her special
day.
But you don't even think that's a possibility.
No.
Look, this is to make, not Jeffrey, Mary happy. This is what our goal is. This is for her and the kids to have some fun. So show some respect. Well, be a good wedding guest.
We'll see what happens at the Holy Moses Matrimony next month. Are they going to walk down the aisle? Is this going to happen? Who knows?
We're going to get the dress today. We're going to go try on dresses.
Nice. All right.
So I'm excited.
Dieter, I want you to put on your detective's cap.
He's still got that damn cap on? What is he detecting?
Detective Dieter.
Yeah, what's the same case or different case?
No, different case, okay. Different case. Nads emailed me last night that he's stuck in Manaway, which I don't even know where the hell that is, to be honest with you. I think it's far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's stuck there, and his car is broken down, and he doesn't know what to do. This was at 8 p.m. last night. Then he said that his girlfriend was going to take him in. He said, girlfriend taking me in, I will be there. Then he said that the ride fell through, so he is going to try to get an Uber, but that will be difficult.
And then it's in BFE.
He did make it in today, though. How'd you get in today?
I took a Lyft.
A Lyft, all right. How much did that cost you?
That was $30.
Wow.
That's more than
he's going to make today.
I know. I'm actually taking a loss because I have to do that home, too, back there.
Why are you staying in Manaway? It's far.
House sitting.
For
my parents.
Yeah, I think he's been living there. House sitting, I don't know if that's an accurate description.
It's been back and forth. I'm not living there, no. I mean, I still stay in Lakewood all the time. But
Is that why all your clothes are in your car?
I mean, that's some of the reason I've been back and forth a lot, yeah.
Why are you house-sitting if there, I mean...
Because there's no one there. People have to take the trash out, leaves, all kinds of stuff. Plus, it's also way nicer.
Are you raking out there?
Yeah.
You rake?
Yeah.
Nads was raking?
Rake, leaf blow, do everything.
Leaf blowing?
I'm doing everything out there. And
a landscaper.
And took the trash out. It was recycling day. And it's way nicer. I feel like a homeowner when I'm there by myself. You know.
So your mom has moved to Florida.
Correct.
Where's dad?
He is actually in Florida for work and then visiting my mom.
All right.
So this is your life from here on out is house sitting?
No, but I mean, we did install a very secure security system, by the way, anyone who's listening.
So don't come in there and stab Nads in the back.
Yeah, I would appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back and forth a lot.
Why can't Jeffrey take you home today? Or Charlie?
To Manaway? I have to go back to Manaway because my car is stuck in my driveway. I have to get it towed.
What happened to your car?
Transmission. Uh-oh. Transmission just blew. I just had it in the shop a month ago for transmission problems. They said it was a cooling line. It was really cheap. Got it back. Ran great for like 6 days. And then the transmission just gave out completely yesterday.
You call that place up and you say, hey, what the hell?
I just tried calling during the last break.
Jeffrey, can you take him home today? You're not doing anything. You're not working.
I have to take my wife to. I have to go home and take my wife to the bridal shop to meet up with Doogie.
Oh, all right.
Other thing I wanted to ask is, if nobody's home at your parents' house in Manaway, how does trash accumulate when nobody's home?
Ooh. True detective.
That yeah.
Is oh, how does trash get there? A, I'm there. B, my girlfriend comes over. C, my dad just left. He was in town for weeks.
I think that that's the real reason he's spending all of his time in Manaway. It's closer to his girlfriend.
Not even close to true.
Is it close to her?
No, it's farther.
It's further from her?
Yes.
I don't know where she lives, but I speculate.
Why would you say that?
Well, I don't know. I speculate that's why he's out there
why,
so much.
So what are you going to do with your car? You have to get it towed to get it fixed?
Yeah, I have to get it towed to get it fixed. So I got to lift home and then get it.
How much? What kind of car? What do you have? A
2002 Ford Explorer.
Oh, man.
How many miles?
A lot of miles on that thing.
140.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
Get to two.
100,000 miles on a car is a lot. You guys
when
are
I said like, that, you told me I was a brat.
No, it's not that much anymore. It used to be maybe 20 years ago it used to be a lot. But now cars easily go well over that.
Yeah,
when I'm at like 200, 220. I don't know what I'm at on mine. 220,000 miles.
Yeah, I was 120 and I freaked out. It was time to get a new car. And you said, 100, that's nothing. Now all of a sudden 100 is a lot?
Well, not only that, you got to remember, car engines are more durable now than they were like 30, 40 years ago. In the old days, car engines were made of iron, so you had to change oil every 3,000 miles. Nowadays, the car engines are being made out of aluminum. They're more durable, and you can go at least 4,000 or 5,000 miles between oil changes.
Longer than that, you go 7,500 to 10,000, they say now you can push.
You know, I will
but
have
I,
to
I
say,
don't risk it, though.
No?
No. I go about, the max I go is like at least 4,000 to 4,500 miles between oil changes.
That was 15,000 you can get on that synthetic oil.
Is it 50? I just saw
it. So.
Is it?
It's a lot.
I go to 7,500.
Yeah.
You don't push it. You don't go 3,000 anymore.
That's what I used to do with my old car. And when I bought the new car, he goes, you don't have to do that. He goes, don't come in.
Yeah, it's a waste of money. Why do that?
He goes, you're saving money on that aspect. He goes, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 miles. He goes, you're fine. He goes, don't come in until the light pops up in your car. Then you bring it in.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, what? Just... Every 3,000, I don't have to cut. Like, I shouldn't have even been doing that the last time.
But look, I get nervous. I like to take care of my car. Yeah,
I get very protective.
She's just weird when it comes to that kind of stuff. Anyway, so do you find any irregularities in Ned's story or anything, Detective Dieter?
It seems to be checking out right now.
It's checking out?
I think he's living there. Charlie, what do you think? You know more than we do.
Well, I heard on the aftermath that he's wearing his dad's underwear or something like that.
Oh, because he was staying at his dad's house. This is weird.
It's in Manaway. That's this house.
Yeah, he was staying out there, and he was out of undies, so he just started wearing his dad's undies. And then he says he does this frequently.
And I mean, not frequently. They're just, we
That's
wear.
That's gross.
Hey, you want really your boys gross. By his boys?
Wait, so they're you clean. Said it just happened where you're out there. So you've been out there for a while.
I told you I've been back and forth. I haven't made that a secret. Like, yeah, I've been back and forth. There's.
Where does this girlfriend live? I might dispute
South,
this.
West?
Where does she live?
How about this? I'll tell you that she's an hour away from Manaway. She's 40 minutes from Lakewood.
Send me a text and tell me where she lives if you don't want to.
Well, no Robert, problem.
What is it, the... secret?
I don't want
the city that she lives in?
No, I don't want to.
No one knows who she is, so.
Yeah, they do.
She's a celebrity. Well, no one cares.
I mean, just the city gives
just,
it away?
Just text anyway, them. Don't say it on the air. That's fine,
that's fine.
But.
Yes, Snitz?
Oh, yeah. Where did the text say he was broken down?
Let me
see. The side of the road?
Let me see here. Hold on. Let me go back and look. Well, that would be. He said he's in the driveway now, didn't he?
Detective Anthony, Detective Jeffrey, yeah. Dieter sucks.
Doesn't say on the side of the road. It just says I'm stuck in BF Manaway house sitting and my car took a yit. Don't know what to do. Giving you a heads up.
So nothing.
I've never even heard of this city that Ned's just telling me his girlfriend lives in. Where the hell is that? Never even heard of that. Is that like a small town?
It's out by Medina, yeah.
Somewhere in the middle of nowhere?
So does she stay with you when your parents are gone?
A lot of times, yeah.
Have you made love in your mom and dad's bed?
No.
No, Doogie.
to pay sure?
I wear my dad's underpants.
And but you won't.
Do you wear his condoms?
Yes.
It's crossing the line, sleeping in their bed. His underpants, that's okay.
Oh, man.
It's so gross. Are they like Fruit of the Looms?
Yeah, we got some Hanes. We got some Fruit of the Looms. Like we wear like the
what
same
kind
stuff.
Do you normally wear?
Like Hanes and Fruit of the Looms. Like we're the exact same.
Boxer briefs.
Boxer briefs. Yeah.
Theater, would you wear your dad's underwear? I mean, unless it was some sort of emergency, you know.
I'd go commando.
I'd go to the store and buy some new ones. Even at, like just go to Target and get some cheap boxers or something.
Yeah, it's his boys by my boys. And what if I leave something in there? Then my dad's going to be like, what the hell did you leave in my underwear?
I find that very odd.
Yeah, I'd go commando and just say, screw it. Screw underwear. But right. I have seen his car. I parked next to it. There's so much clothes in his back seat. You can't even see the back seat. I mean, I'm talking about 3-4 feet of clothes.
I told you.
Crammed in there.
Is he homeless and is he not telling us about this?
He just keeps everything in the car and wherever he goes, he has his wardrobe. It looks
why
like
why so much stuff in your car?
I don't know. It's a piece of crap. Like, so I don't even care. Obviously, I mean, my car, I need a reliable transportation at this point right. because it's saying it's not reliable. So I just throw stuff everywhere.
So what's your game plan here for getting a car?
I don't know. Got to start looking, but I mean, there's a lot on the table. So
now, mom and dad gonna buy you a car? Do you think? Or
we'll talk about it. I mean, I'll have to contribute, but hopefully, I get good news at the transmission shop today. I mean, that's what I'm hoping for.
If you gotta replace that, is that gonna be like?
That's gonna be worth more than the car,
right?
So I'm hoping that it's something else. I mean, I know it's not popping in the drive.
I have a reservation on a Tesla Model 3.
Like beat out your mom.
Uh-huh. I'll bid her. Uh-huh. Taking bids right now. Yes, Jeffrey.
I remember I had that same issue with my Honda, and I took it to one shop. They gave me three options, and all three options were over $2,100.
That sucks.
So, then another shop calls in off the air. They said, well, we can do your transmission at half that price.
Sure.
So I went that route.
Okay.
All right. Lots of people want to know if Nance's fiance is wearing his mother's underwear when they're over at this house.
Well, spooning.
Bloomers?
Uh-huh.
That's so gross. You can turn your mic on the laugh track.
That's good.
Oh God! How's your mom doing down in Florida? Everything okay?
She's actually doing great.
Where's your grandpa at and all this?
He's in Florida now. He moved down. Yeah, he moved down there. She was actually doing much better before he came down here. He's like kind of a crotchety old man.
Yeah.
So she kind of had like I think it was like 7 weeks she was gone mm-hmm. before he showed up. And you could tell when you talked to her, she was just like full of life and energy. And then he moves in. It's just like,
sure, it's an old man you have to take care of.
Exactly. So she has a job again where she has to take care of this old man that's like pretty mean. So
how old is he?
83.
I think they get that. I think my mom has this. I think when they get certain age, they get
No, you just don't care.
No. It's a sun. Is it sundowner syndrome?
The hell's that?
Seasonal affective disorder?
No, that's Rover. This is my mom. I've noticed as she gets older, she's getting meaner. And I think that it's that disease, the sundowners. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I've never heard of that.
It's true.
I've heard my wife talk about it because she works at an old folks home. So
it says confusion and dementia.
Mean.
I don't see mean.
Mean.
Yeah, your mom's just a bitch. Just like you. Runs in the family.
Yeah, I got it already.
Yeah, right. Lots of people are saying there's got to be more to this story. Why is Nad staying at this house so much? They do believe it ties in with this girlfriend.
Well, it's so far away from everything. Why would you do that?
She must work by there or go to school by there. Something. Does she go to school by there?
Nope. Also really far. I actually... There's nothing to this that you guys are like looking way too far into it. It's like a nice house and I'm there by myself. I feel like a homeowner. It's so much nicer than my apartment. It's got heating. It's got air conditioning.
You
don't have that in your apartment?
They haven't turned the heat on yet. I have any pick of showers I want. It's awesome. Like it's so comfortable.
Why don't you get rid of your apartment then and save that money?
Yeah, why don't you move back in with mom and dad?
Because I'm 30 years old. That doesn't sound great. No, I like having my privacy too.
But if your dad's out of town a lot.
I mean, right? I like having my privacy too, and like having my spot out there. Like I like it.
And likes to have, so he's dual home.
Oh.
He's
the
dual home phone strainer.
That's his vacation
strainer.
Right.
Yeah.
The dad comes home. He has to leave.
Uh-huh. Huh. All right. Oh, well, Detective Dieter, you don't see anything suspicious here?
I don't. This is the first I'm hearing it. But I know his car is messed up because I heard him calling during the break.
Nads hasn't been slurring his speech that I've heard recently, so he's been doing okay, right?
Yeah.
I feel much, much better.
Yeah?
Like
engagement will do that to you.
Yeah.
I've been just personally just happier, and my head feels great. I was with someone. This is a new thing, by the way. You know how I always would say I would meet fans, and they would say, oh, my dad committed suicide, or my brother's addicted to heroin.
Yeah.
Like, they would get, like, real sad with me. Now, new thing is head injuries. So, like, they're like, oh, yeah, you have this massive head injury. And they told me, this one guy that I met on Sunday, he's like, you're not going to be good for a year and a half. He's like, you're going to think you're okay, and it's going to come back.
Mm.
But I feel great. Like, I feel fine.
Well, that's good. He looks better. He seems to be doing better. Sean, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, morning, Rover.
Hey, man.
I guess I have a Rover GPS. Were you at the casino yesterday shooting the dice, playing some blackjack?
Oh, you bastard.
Nope, that wasn't me.
Oh.
Another sexy-looking guy was there?
No, my better half's a cocktail waitress, and actually got a text while she was at work saying that Rover was up there on the first floor.
Oh. No, not me.
Was he saying, I'm Rover?
I've had this happen before where people will say that. I hope he wasn't saying that, but I had one guy who was in a Home Depot trying to buy a refrigerator saying that he was me for some reason. I don't know if he was trying to get a better deal. By the way, no one gives me a better deal. What do you think? They go, oh, yeah, that's that guy from the radio. Let's cut him. Let's cut $200 off his refrigerator. No, no one does that.
Charge you more.
So I don't know. Talk,
oh, man.
Talk to this. What is this, your girlfriend or your wife or something you said?
Yeah, girlfriend.
All right, ask her. Say, what was this guy doing? I mean, I know, obviously, he must have been one sexy son of a bitch if she even thought that it was me.
Obviously.
But
maybe he lost a bunch of money, Rover, so that's why she thought it was you.
Yeah. Find out what the guy was doing, if he was being a jerk or something, and then give me a call back.
I've been trying to take a marker out.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Trying to use my Social Security number or something. All right, Sean, let me know. Thank you. No, I wasn't at the casino yesterday. I haven't been to the casino down there and couldn't even tell you how long. 5 years?
Downtown?
Yeah. Long, long time. At least, I guess probably about 5 years. Let me take a break. I have a lot to talk about that I haven't gotten to this morning, so we'll get to that in a moment. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Hotter and faster than an SR-71 on fire?
It's exactly what it looks like.
Yes, that was written by Jeffrey LaRoche.
Whatever, you know, believe who you want to believe.
Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
Does Jeffrey know where the outgoing mail is? Is he good for See, can I have him run an errand? I just
yeah, it's just it's a little bin in the mail room that's labeled outgoing mail.
You want to come in
you
here?
You sent me out there
I'll
all
take
the time.
That envelope right there and put it all in the outgoing mail. Thank you, Jeffrey. I like to give him tasks.
You love to do that.
Oh, he's a good worker, Jeffrey is. Thank you, Jeffrey. I just looked over. I saw an envelope that I had to mail. Cold, Dougie?
I am freezing. I have not turned my heat on in my house. Cold out. I play a game every winter. I think I always say this.
To see how long you can go until you turn the... I don't know why you do that.
It's great for your daughter, probably.
Stupid. It is. Yeah. We make a joke out of it.
My fireplace has been on. Your fireplace doesn't throw out any heat. Dougie's
Mine
at
does.
Her house? No. Very low heat compared. The one at my house, it is kicking out heat. And that thing's on. I have that on all the time.
No way.
Oh, yeah. It's been on for like 2 months.
Just, 2 months? It was summertime. It was August you had it on.
Oh, he did. Yeah. July, I bet.
Oh, man. It heats the whole house, though, you're saying?
Or the whole floor? Yeah, it heats. It almost does heat the whole house, to be honest. It's probably not an energy efficient way, but I like to go stand right up next to that fireplace. You can only stand there for 20, 30 seconds before you have to move because it just starts melting your clothes. It feels so good.
When I was little, we used to have a fire where it would crackle like what you just heard, not the electric ones. I would sit next to it and like almost before your skin melts, get all hot. God, I was little. And then I'd lay on the ground and let it just kind of soak you in. And why my parents would let me do that is the dumbest thing ever. I was right up against the fire. Am I the only one?
No. My dad was cheap. He wouldn't let us turn the heat on. But we had a natural gas well in our house.
A natural gas well?
Yeah, and we just had free natural gas. But for whatever reason, you couldn't hook it up to the furnace. So he bought all these wall units all over the house. I don't know if you've ever seen them. They're little things. I don't know. They're not fireplaces or anything. They're just these... They have three heating elements on it. You turn it on. So then just certain rooms of the house were hot. And they were like 95 degrees because this thing was just was on or off. And it was just super hot.
Are those electric?
Or? No, it hooked up to the gas well. To the natural gas well.
How would you hook that up? I mean, a line to each one of those things on the wall?
There's little gas nubs sticking out. I remember there's little nubs in the wall. I don't know. They're like lead nubs.
Like a pipe?
Yeah, like a pipe nub.
So it was a line.
What the hell is going on there?
It was an old, I mean, the house was really old. It's over 100 years old. So.
Probably for old gas lamps then, right?
It might be. Like this isn't, it's a really old house.
And you have, I didn't know that you could just get natural gas like just right out of the ground and just burn it in your house. I mean, there's no processing or there's no.
No,
I mean,
it's right off the cap, man. Right off the rim
cut.
Yeah, just fresh stuff. Going into my house, and we were just, as a kid, I remember, like, you know, the starter would go out on the wall units, so you have to go get a lighter out, and if you didn't have a lighter, light a piece of paper and jam it in there to try to get the gas thing going, and there'd be a couple.
Seemed like it could, even like the fire could go, like, back down through the pipe and just blow up your whole gas well or something.
I'm trying to send you what they look like. They're all over. But, yeah, we would stand
Charlie
in front
had
of
a
them.
Weird childhood, didn't he? Just... In this old house.
I didn't know it was weird until I grew up. And then I was like, you guys pay for heat and it comes out of the furnace? Like, you don't have to crowd around the wall?
The wall.
Now, was there any maintenance involved with this well?
No, but it would, like, run out every once in a while. You try to make it last all winter. And then by March, you're getting low on your gas well. And... That was it. And then you just have no
heat.
And then
it would reaccumulate during the summer?
From what I could... I mean, I was pretty
young. There's got to be more to this story. This almost sounds impossible. You didn't have like a... Are you sure it was a natural well? You didn't have like a heating oil tank or something that they would fill?
It was just a natural well. We had well water, too. Like, we had
I've had that. That's gross.
Yeah, it was in the basement. And it wasn't like a well like you'd think like... You know, there's not a bucket that I'm going out to go fill up.
No, but it's
to fill
in
up my bathtub. But in the basement, there's this round manhole thing, and there's the well water in there, and it tasted.
What does Nads do with the people on the phone? I'm curious. They just disappear.
People have to go sometimes. So they, if they're on like a schedule, I wrote that guy's number down if you wanted to talk to him. I mean, people are on schedules. They have to go to work.
I'm getting ready to go to that guy, and then Nan just hangs up with them.
I'll get him back on the line.
Here, I sent Snitzer some pictures of the different styles we had growing up, of whatever these things are called.
Nubs? Gas nubs?
Gas nubs.
There's one. That's the one in the living room.
Yeah. It's like a box, like you did exactly how
it looks like an infrared heater kind of thing or something.
Yeah. But it's hanging.
It's from the gas. And then we also had a flame one, too.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
Now, can you show me what the gas?
The gas well? There was no location to the gas well. There's a meter in the basement somewhere, and you could see how many pounds of gas you had or whatever. Then I remember one time the fire department they showed up to my house because our gas well was leaking back into the city's gas line.
Jesus.
And they shut it all down.
There's got to be more to this story. Like, I don't think you just have a gas well that you can tap right into.
But listen to what Anthony said about the house is so old that maybe that's how they did.
Yeah, these are gas lamps. These were right in the walls.
Oh,
did you guys have this? Did you have that on your wall?
No,
if anything, it would have been capped off.
This is the attachment to make it into a gas lamp.
See the cap off right there, the pipe, the line?
Wow. Yeah, there might have been like, I remember these little just huge like nipple things sticking out.
That's what that is.
Big areolas.
Nice.
Sticking out of my house all over the place.
Huh.
Was it regular toilets in your house?
No, it was other than the outhouse we had when we moved in.
You lie.
Besides that. No, you've
I swear
said
to God,
before,
there was
yeah.
an outhouse.
I thought you were joking.
No, there was an actual... When we moved in, there was an outhouse.
Where the hell is this?
Wow.
The outhouse?
No, I mean this house.
I don't want to give...
We've been there.
People still live there. You've been there.
That's the house I've been to?
Yes.
It's that
I've been there.
Wow. It keeps getting added on. It started off as a one-room schoolhouse, and then they added the second addition, then a third addition, and then on and on. And the basement is made of limestone, and I'm only saying this term because it's what we were told when we bought the house, that a retarded man... I dug out my basement with a spoon. And that was the kind of the quaintness of the house. Charm there.
Oh, yes.
You believe that?
Yeah.
With a spoon.
Right.
They just gave
through
him
the
a spoon.
Limestone.
They
How
gave
much
him a
time
spoon.
Does he have?
All day. He's got all day.
Will your mom
took
ever...
Him, took him 27 years to dig out the basement.
Will your mom ever
That's why I wonder
out?
How much of this is actually accurate. You know, the basement dug out by the retarded guy, the gas
with
well.
With a spoon.
Dustin, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Dustin.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening?
Not much. Yeah, the reason I was calling is I just had a doctor's appointment in Strongsville, and the nurse that works there knows a nurse that works at the hospital where they brought that lady in. And
the murder, the woman who was murdered, that school teacher? Yeah.
And they said that she was stabbed 35 times and then shot.
And shot?
What?
Yeah,
that hasn't been in the news.
So, I mean, that sounds like a passion kill to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Would a robber do it 35 times?
No.
He'd stab you a couple times to get out of there.
Exactly.
If he had to.
And it was in a cul-de-sac. And then I guess yesterday, they were over at Applebee's looking for a murder weapon. Because they think, like, he went out to eat and met the son-in-law or whatever over there. You know, maybe did it before he left and then came back or went to Applebee's. Hey, I'm on camera. And then went back home with the son-in-law. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just thought it was crazy, so I figured I'd call in. Because right before the doctor's appointment, I went in and I didn't know what they were going to say, you know.
Are you sure that they said that this woman was shot? Because I haven't heard that anywhere in the news.
Yeah, they said that's the thing. It's like they're not releasing any of the information because... You know, it's just all suspicious, you know, so, and
well,
I don't think about it, if someone was out on the loose, they would be saying that, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Detective Dieter is on the case, and that's enough for me. I think Detective Dieter will get to the bottom of this eventually. Kind of like Dr. Dieter. Anytime a medical issue comes up, Dr. Dieter solves it. Detective Dieter can get to the...
Yeah,
you can crack this case.
I already did.
Oh, this will definitely be a cold case file for sure. So
cold case.
All right, thank you, Dustin. I don't know if cold case.
Cold case almost solved. It sounds like,
according to you and him.
Well, I say a couple days till it come out with it. The answer,
Mike. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Mike.
Rover, yo.
Hey, man.
Peter, yo.
Yo.
Hey, man, you guys were talking about Charlie's house with that whole natural gas thing. My brother just bought a home that's almost 100 years old, and for them to read his water, they have to go underground in his front yard to get a water reading. Because usually they'll do it, like, electronically, and they can just read it from the street. But I guess it's a big pain for the guys when they got to go through a manhole, go underground and read it, get the guys get all, they get all mad.
I mean, was the basement dug out by a retarded guy with a spoon, too? Oh. I mean, it's just, I've never heard of a story like this with Charlie in this house that he lived in that is just so strange.
But I've heard of weird toilets.
It's like a dungeon, almost.
No, it's not a dungeon. We didn't live in the basement. The basement was gross. You never go in the basement because it was the
little
walls.
Spoon marks?
Yeah.
The walls were made out of spoon marks?
Dig marks, yes. The walls were made of rocks. I mean, there's no cinder blocks. It was actual rock. You're in a cavern when you're in my basement.
Like the earth?
You see there? I mean, you see it's rock. It's
limestone.
It's
all jagged.
Yeah, it's like limestone or sandstone or whatever it was.
I think we should maybe just charge tours of Charlie's childhood home. Yeah, for $3, you get to walk through, see the spoon-cut basement.
Oh, wow. Will your mom move out of there? Or she's done. I mean, she's just going to stay there.
Yeah, she likes it there. She wants to move. I don't want her to move, though.
Why? No,
I like the house.
Don't be selfish. Buy the house.
Yeah, you're not living there. So.
No, my stuff's there. I don't want to
move.
Why
do you tell her not to move?
I still have my stuff there. I don't want to move my stuff out.
Have her move, Mama Charlie. Move.
Yeah, let her move. Cody, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Cody.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man.
So, yeah, I was calling about Charlie's house with the natural gas well.
Yeah.
We just bought a house a couple years ago that has a natural gas well, and literally it's just like a pipe in the ground, like 1,000 feet down. And natural gas just comes out of the ground. There's no smell to it. And it burns in our furnace and our heaters and stuff. And we got those wall heaters that you just, like, huddle around for warmth.
Couldn't this thing blow up, though? I mean, it's just a pipe into the middle of the earth.
It's got an exhaust thing that blows out somewhere in the basement.
Yeah, there's a vent pipe that goes out, like, the side of our house. Like, if pressure gets built up, and there's, like, a pressure regulator in the basement.
And now I remember there's some sort of cap out in my yard. There's, like, a little tiny little cap. You'd see it, just a little metal, turny thing. And
I have, like, a pit out in my yard that has it in.
Yeah. And what would you turn that with?
You wouldn't. It would just be there. You'd have to be careful of it when you're cutting the grass. Uh-huh. It was out in the middle of just seems like it was just randomly placed in the middle of the yard.
But Charlie seems like the kind of kid that when he was little would like take matches and drop them down that.
I don't
think
I really knew what it was until it was older. Yeah, I would have done that.
Speaking of kids playing around, in Michigan, 5 teenagers have been arrested because they dropped a giant rock from an overpass onto a car on I-75 and killed a guy. He was a passenger in the car. Killed him. Went right through. It's like maybe a football-sized rock or a softball-sized rock and went through the windshield and killed this guy. They have arrested 5 teenagers. They are about 15 years old, I think. And a lot of people are saying, well, fry them. Some people are saying, oh, it's just kids being kids. What do you do with these? They're 5 teenagers. Part of me says, obviously they should have known better.
Yeah, of course.
But how much punishment do you give them? Because I did so many stupid things when I was a kid, and you don't think
it's
funny, right? You're like, oh, I'm throwing these rocks down there.
It's not funny.
You don't think you're going to kill someone.
Yeah, I remember my brother, and I don't know if I was there or not, but throwing 2x4s off of a, not off of a bridge onto a car, but into a train. Like, why would you do that? You don't think the train's going to derail. You're just watching this wood bounce around.
Yeah.
And you're laughing about it. But, somebody could have died.
Oh, my God.
Kids are stupid.
Real stupid, and they do dumb things.
Do you lock these kids up for life? 20 years? What do you do with them? They did kill a 30-year-old guy who was a...
And how
I believe
they
had a couple of kids. They were 16. Well, let's see. One turns 18 next week. A couple of them are 16, and a couple of them are 15.
They know better.
The whole thing of this is that because they were juveniles at the time that the crime occurred, they really can't give them the death penalty. But
like
what they're
charging them as adults,
right? But what they're going to do is they're going to wind up spending the rest of their lives in prison
at 15.
Yeah.
I think it's 15 years.
It's just kids having fun. We all done
15 years.
Oh man, that's a long time. They didn't intend to kill anybody.
It doesn't matter.
What's your intentions? They just want to have
some
fun.
But wouldn't you be upset if a 16-year-old kid threw a rock and it killed your sister as she's driving on the highway?
It happened to my dad. The guy dropped a rock, and my dad tried to swerve, and it hit his hood of his car. My dad pulled over and tried to chase the kid up the side embankment.
I did the same thing. Doogie and I were in a car, rock right through the windshield. Didn't go all the way through, but it was probably about a softball-sized rock.
There was glass inside the car.
Smashed the whole windshield open, and we pulled over, and I'm like, turn around. I'm going to kill someone. That was my first reaction. I'm going to kill someone right now.
Me too.
But we never even saw the people. The kids ran away.
They were on the side of the road.
I was on the highway, and they did it just off of nowhere, and I turned around. I couldn't find anybody at all, and there was no exit even close to it, so I had to go quite a distance and turn around and try to find him. Nothing.
Too.
And then was looking at the news a couple days later. I think I even called 911 to try to get him caught, and then there was these frozen meatball bandits that were terrorizing the town the same night. I don't know if I got hit with the frozen meatball or not, but they're slingshotting meatballs.
Frozen meatballs.
Are you kidding?
Oh, my God.
No, I'm telling you that I'm looking up the news story. This is exactly what happened. It was the same night. There's these frozen meatball bandits that were just slingshotting meatballs and marbles at people, and my mirror on my car is still screwed up because of it.
I got hit by the meatball gang.
I think it's just the same night.
With a three-man slingshot, is that what you're talking about? Or just a regular one?
I don't know.
Probably just a regular one.
I didn't see anything. I just saw what I don't remember what I saw. Oh, it's just like a blink. I just saw this thing right in front of my windshield, and it really lucky it didn't hit it. It bounced off my hood and then hit my mirror. And it was off to the it wasn't above me, it was from the side on the right side of the
road.
And
where did this happen at?
That was on the Shoreway.
All right, cuz this was on I don't know where this was. West 14th Street.
Oh, it is. Yeah, the meatball spree. You see this meatball spree? It was the same night.
It says Tremont and the city's west side. So you were hit by the meatball bandits.
I was.
Oh, man.
I didn't know it was a meatball at the time.
So what do you do with these kids? 866-YO-ROVER, 866-967-6837. How much time do you give them? I mean, they killed someone.
Yes, they did.
So part of me, I'm actually torn on this. Part of me, if it was a loved one of mine that got killed, I'd want to strangle these kids. I would want to kill them myself. But on the other hand, I put myself in their shoes. I did so many dumb things when I was 15 years old.
That would have killed somebody? That would have killed.
Anything could have.
I did a lot of dumb stuff when I was 15. And you don't think of the consequences.
Do you think these people were trying to kill this guy?
No, of course not. They were just trying to, break a... What happened was they were just trying to hit the cars. They found 20 rocks on the highway there that they were trying to throw at other cars.
How big were the rocks, do you think?
Softball size, I think.
Well, I'm with Charlie. Large. 15. Oh, yeah, there's Robert.
That's huge.
Oh, that's a huge rock. That's
like a bowling ball.
That's a basketball size rock.
You
kind of
know
right
what
there.
You're doing at that point.
You think?
But they just want to see the car swerve.
No, it's.
No, I think they want to hit the car and see if you can hit the car. I don't think they believe that it's going to kill someone, though.
Man, that's really dumb.
I went clean through it, too.
Mike, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Mike.
Rover, yo.
Yo, what's happening?
Chilling, guys. Happy hump day. Quick story about throwing rocks at people. Back when I was an adolescent and ignorant and stupid, I actually did something very similar. It was actually a thing that me and my buddies would do. So I lived on campus at my school. My parents worked there, so we luckily had an agreement where we were able to stay on a school at campus. It was a little private school. And we called it Thumper Dumping. And we would go around. It was our whole driveway in our school was gravel. So we would go around walking around trying to find some decent-sized rocks. And then there was a berm around, like, our whole school. So, like, a mountain of dirt and then grass grown over it. So you could kind of, like, duck down.
Yeah.
And cars would pass. So we would wait for cars to pass at, like, 12, 1, 2, 3 in the morning. And we would just, like you said, it's like a game. You try to hit the car. So it's like you don't realize you're literally damaging someone's property, could shatter their window, could literally do a multiple thing, cause an accident, and he could die. But this is all retrospect, you think. But
right.
We would, like, chuck him, and we would think it was so fun. And then a couple times it happened to where it was actually pretty scary, to where the guy, like you were saying, Rover, literally got out of his car, somehow saw where the or no, I'm sorry. We threw it once. He turned around and came back, and we hit him on the opposite side, so he knew where it came from. And then he got out of his car and literally hopped the fence at our school and started chasing us down in our school. It was so scary. We were like 15, 16, thought we were going to die.
Well, I'll tell you what, maybe they should do, now that I've been thinking about this for a couple of minutes, I have an idea of what they should do. Now, remember, there is a 30-year-old who was killed. I believe that the 30-year-old also has kids. Mm. Here's what I think they should do. Now, there are five of these teenagers that are charged. I think that they should find the one, determine who dropped this rock, and execute that one kid.
Oh,
execute him.
Kill this kid?
Yeah, kill him. And I'll tell you why. They would serve as a deterrent to any other kid that wanted to try this. Hear a story a couple times a year of this happening, someone dies. Kill the kid. Just one. You let the other four walk. Kill the one. Who's going to do this in the future?
Another dumb kid.
I think put him in jail, like Charlie said. I think
if people were getting executed for doing this, you think kids would still be that dumb to do it? There might be a couple, but if you're that dumb to keep doing it after people are getting executed, then you probably deserve to be executed yourself.
16-year-olds don't pay attention to the news, and they don't know this is
happening. Story would go around. You'd have to publicize it. Donald Trump can tweet about it. That we just killed a 16-year-old, executed him. They should put all those posters up in school. Like, remember, they'd have like public service kind of posters or things.
That would work.
You just put like the picture of the kid sitting there in the electric chair, right as they're getting ready to flick the switch. So this kid threw a rock at a car. Do it and die.
Ugh.
And that's it. That's what I would do. 866-YO-ROVER, 866-967-6837. What do you think? I've got to take a break. If you're listening to us on a station that only carries the show until 10 a.m., you can continue listening or watching live at roverradio.com or with the Rover Radio app for everyone else. We're going to be right back. We'll pick this up. We'll also do the last shizzy of the morning, the news next. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory. Gator doesn't put people down.
Hey, you know, let's talk this out.
He picks them up.
Over his head and then slams them down to the ground for maximum damage.
Nobody can stop me.
Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
We'll get to the news, the shizzy, in just a moment. Five kids in Michigan were arrested for throwing a huge rock off of an overpass, which struck a car's windshield, went through it, killed a 30-year-old guy. And now what do you do with those kids? I said, after thinking about it, execute one of them. The one who actually threw it, execute them.
Let's do that.
That will be a big deterrent. Daryl in Grand Rapids, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Daryl.
Hi, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, man, what's happening, bud?
Hey, I've driven a truck for 20 years and from coast to coast, and you hear a lot of this happening, especially to big trucks because we move much slower and we're a bigger target. But there's been accounts of cantaloupes, watermelons, frozen turkeys, bowling balls getting blasted through the windshields. And I hope that they really burn one of them really good. So that therefore it sends a message out to these kids that, hey, this can really hurt someone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I did dumb stuff as a kid.
Drivers that are dying.
I did dumb stuff as a kid, and you don't think that you're going to do. I remember I've told the story. We threw, you know, those little tiny things there.
Crab apples?
No, not crab apples. That's what you used to get. people would throw those at you, right?
Yeah, I had a crabapple tree. I was growing my own torture device.
He was an actual Charlie was a moving crabapple target, basically.
Yes.
Kids in the neighborhood would just throw crabapples at them. Now the little things, they're like
a walnut. A pear.
They snap. No.
Pop rocks.
No,
pop
they're like
rocks.
Lemons.
They're like not fireworks,
pops.
But
snap and pops.
Yeah, they snap the white things that go on the ground and pop.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah.
Pop rock.
Whippersnappers.
Whippersnappers. And there was a motorcycle that was driving by, and my buddy and I threw those whippersnappers at the. And that guy, he was really. He turns around. He chases us. I mean, as a little kid at that point, but then later in life.
You're still a douche.
I'm trying to think if I did anything that could have killed someone.
Oh, it's terrible.
Well, Charlie brought up the frozen meatballs. We had, when the three-man slingshot first came out, you remember this? I was in high school. At least that was the first time I've heard of it. You take three people, so like one person on each side holding the slingshot.
Right.
And then one guy in the middle pulls it down to the ground.
Right.
We took golf balls and we're just shooting them in the neighborhood. Had no idea where they would go. No idea. Hitting houses, hitting cars, hitting kids. That comes down, hits you in the side of the head.
Blast you. Hits you in the temple?
We do it after school all day. I'm talking about 3 hours just shooting golf balls everywhere. And they were coming down so far away, they had no idea who was doing it.
Right.
That could kill somebody. But, man, it was fun. So much fun. If I could do that today, I would do it.
You probably, do you know how much property you destroy? Thousands and thousands of dollars worth of damage, I'm sure.
Allegedly.
Jack, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey.
If they can determine who did it, and it's good they're going to charge them as adults, they should. Enough with the teeny boppers that should have more sense getting away with being charged as a juvenile.
I think they only charge one or two as adults. The ones that were 17, the 15 and 16-year-olds are not charged as adults, I don't think.
What are they going to do if it's one of the younger ones that was one that actually let the rock go? I mean, someone died. You know, we all did stupid things as kids, boys, girls, everyone did it.
We didn't kill anyone, though.
Right, we didn't kill anyone. Okay, you're throwing rocks off an overpass on, I assume it was onto a highway?
Yeah.
I didn't hear exactly.
Yeah, it was I-80, I think, or something.
You know, cars are going 60, 70, who knows what miles an hour. You've got to think, oh, my God, someone could die. You know, even when you're doing stupid crap, when we were in high school, driving through people's yards and this and that, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning. But, you know, it wasn't like we were driving down the sidewalks where there's people and this and that. But we're thinking, you know, hey, we hit this bump and, you know, we could, you know, injure ourselves. That if you have an intelligent brain, you're thinking, you know, a couple steps in advance for what your actions might result in.
Yeah, I think so too. Thank you, Jack. You know, I wonder if this is not the answer to the problem. I still think you fry one, but I wonder how difficult it would be. I guess you'd have to look at every overpass in the United States. There's probably tens of thousands of them, but could you put some sort of sensor on those that you would know if there's a bunch of people milling around, then it would somehow alert the cops and they could roll up on that?
Now I see they put fences up that are so tiny, the holes, you can't put a rock through it.
Yeah, not like a big rock. But but kids, though, if they're determined, you'd get some wire cutters, cut a hole in that thing. I don't think that would necessarily stop someone. Debbie, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I say Rover for president. That's what I say.
Oh,
I will run if I have your support, Debbie. I will
Absolutely.
Run. Why not?
Absolutely. I have a lot of people that'll support you.
We'll fry all those 16-year-olds that are throwing rocks off of overpasses. That will be that's my platform. I'm the fry the 16-year-old candidate. And if you don't like it, kiss my ass. Thank you, Debbie.
Did you see Kid Rock was talking to, is it Stern? I think he was doing an interview with them and he said, of course I'm not running.
Phew, I was like, phew, thank God.
What?
Because
he's like, I had some fun with it.
As a Democrat, I was worried about that. I go, no, they could actually elect this guy.
He'd win.
Yeah, he might win. Who thought Donald Trump would win? This guy might win. What if now every person running for office is a whacked out celebrity?
They'd win.
Yeah.
What about Mark Cuban?
Kim Kardashian. Who knows? Could she? Maybe. Kanye was going to run for president, he said. Remember that?
Right.
Idiots. What about Mark Cuban? Have you heard that?
Yeah, he thought he might consider running as a Republican. I don't know his political
experience. That doesn't matter. You can't say that these days.
No, but I'm saying I don't even know if he would be a Republican, if he would fall more on a Republican or Democrat scale. He says he would run as a Republican. I don't know. Maybe he is a Republican. I have no idea. I don't know much about Mark Cuban. Here's what I would do. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. Who I would vote for in the next election is an experienced
politician.
Someone who knows the process. Because we're just winging it right now. Scott, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Hey, man. What's happening, bud?
Not much. Just getting ready to work. But when I was 16, we did something incredibly stupid. There used to be a place called the Coliseum in Mayfield.
Uh-huh.
And there's Mayfield Road that you're heading towards Chester, and there's a huge slope, a ravine, when you're driving down the road. We took the bowling ball out, and we threw it out the window going 60 miles an hour. So now it's going in front of us. And then their cars start coming up towards us, and this ball flies over to the other side of the road. One of the cars come by as a cop. He flips around, stops us. He was pissed, man. He was yelling and screaming. But we didn't realize that we could hurt somebody like that. I mean, we weren't thinking. We were kids. So I don't know what you do with these guys.
You don't agree with me that you execute one, and then every other kid who may be like you, thinking about throwing out the bowling ball, might think to themselves, hey, remember that kid that was just that they put in front of the firing squad last year? Maybe we shouldn't do this.
Well, then I wouldn't be having this conversation with you right now.
Yeah, he'd be dead. You'd already be killed as a teenager. We all would be.
Well,
some of that's 14 or 15 Rover.
Well, we didn't actually kill anyone.
That you
this
know
guy
of.
Did. This guy did.
Okay.
These kids in Michigan, they killed someone. I'm just telling you, I think you.
Give them probation.
No.
Let them live their
probation.
Lives.
That's
let
it.
Them live, Rover.
Probation.
They're 14, 15 years old.
No consequences.
Bro, like I said, probation. But, for 10 years. You mess up, you get to go to jail for life.
Oh, my
Mike in Vero yes. Beach. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, man.
Oh.
Good morning, Dieter.
Yo.
Hey, so as far as President, Jenner would be a good elect because then he could be the first lady and the president at the same time.
Who?
It's probably a funny Bruce joke, Jenner. but his his phone cut out. Oh, Kris Jenner.
Oh, Jenner.
Or whatever.
No, Bruce
Jenner. Bruce Jenner.
Caitlyn.
Caitlyn Jenner, whatever the name is now, right?
Yeah, then he could be the first lady and the president at the same time.
That's right. Probably but, save us in Secret Service costs. You don't need Secret Service for two different people. It's just one.
True.
All right, go on.
All right, so in regards to these kids, that I think the probation would be too lenient. Obviously, and you know, taking one of them out would be too harsh. So let me tell you, when I was, when we were in our 13s, we had this. Where we lived at, there was this. We lived in a heavily wooded area, but we had a major highway, like an artery that would cut through our neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and we would, we thought it was fun to shoot at the cars going by. We had these CO2 loaded pellet guns and. AR-15 looking BB guns and
right.
hide in the woods and we'd shoot at the cars going by. And we got away with this for years doing this. And then one time, and nothing ever bad happened until one time we had these tour buses coming through. And so we were shooting at the tour buses and we blasted the windows out. Well, it caused the driver to panic and he swerved and rolled the tour bus off into a canal or a ditch. Causing it to roll on its side, and the passengers inside of it got seriously injured. Well, we ended up getting caught like weeks later, and I think it was because one of the guys we were hanging out with was bragging in school what we had done, and so somehow it got back to us, and the cops came. We ended up getting in trouble for it, and no one died, of course, but the stupid things, you don't realize that what you're doing, what the repercussions of your actions are. And so as our punishment, because we were too young to be punished as adults, but yet, you can't just let something like that slide.
Mm-hmm.
They have these, and I'm sure every state has them. They have to have some type of juvenile programs or something. And our state did. Our state had a, It was like a boot camp. It was a 3-year program, almost like being in jail or prison. You lived on the campus, and you know you had to go through a rehabilitation process. And you so at the end of each year, you got reevaluated, and if they felt that you had successfully completed your whatever your goals were, your treatment plan was, they would make their recommendations if they wanted you to be released, or if they wanted you to stay longer. But the maximum you could stay at one of these programs was like 3 years. And so inside the program, we addressed all types of issues, because it's to say that all kids have that intelligence to know what they're doing is wrong or to foresee the repercussions of their actions is not accurate, because, you know, growing up, our parents worked all the time. They were hard workers trying to provide a good life for us.
But you knew that it was wrong to shoot your pellet guns at the bus.
Not at the time, though. At the time.
Oh, come on. Wait a sec. So you would have told a police officer if they would have said, hey, what'd you do yesterday? Oh, I shot pellet guns at tour buses driving by the highway.
Well, we didn't have any guilty conscience about it. We didn't have any kind of guilty conscience. I mean, we shot at anything that drove by the road. If it was a cop, it didn't matter. We didn't have, and this is where I was leading to, is that the parental guidance that we had, we lacked, because we were allowed to run the streets all day and night, all hours of the day and night, because our parents worked such crazy hours to try to provide a good life, or whatever, why they worked so much. Maybe they're just workaholics, or they were just swamped in debt. But as a result, we didn't have, and I say me and the guys that I ran with, you know, we didn't have that strong parental guidance to really sit us down and tell us, hey, you know, these are things that you do and don't do. We kind of just live life on our own.
Think they should have executed Mike Dieter?
Oh, Mike.
No.
I'm just wondering.
I had a pellet gun. Is your pellet
gun saying.
Going on?
All right, Mike. Well, thank you. Yes. All right. I can tell Mike went to this program. They really got him in touch with his feelings, and they'd have like these group sessions where he would vocalize and talk about his feelings, because
he's okay.
Oh, he's a talker. Yes, go on, Mike. What were you going to say?
Well, that's the point I was going to get to, is that through this program, through this organization, it was an outlet and a channel for kids like us that didn't have those resources that I guess you would say a normal family environment would have. We didn't have those resources to give us the skill set that we needed to be, corrective thinking, if you will. So, to say these 15-year-olds, we don't know what kind of guidance they have. We don't know what lifestyle they live. You know, maybe they do need more help than what's on the surface, what's obvious. Yes, what they did is tragic.
Yeah, we can save the money, though. We'll just execute the one that dropped the rock and let the other ones go, and the problem will take care of itself.
Kids are young and stupid.
I know. They'll learn quick, though. You start lopping off the heads of some 16-year-olds. It doesn't take long before they go, yeah, maybe we shouldn't throw those rocks off the overpasses anymore. All right, thank you, Mike. I would say the dumbest thing that I probably could have killed someone with is I used to steal my mom's car. I was 14 when I started doing it. So I would drive around at the age of 14, no license, obviously. And I guess that was probably some of the dumbest stuff that you could have killed someone.
Yeah.
Oh, that? Just stealing the car at 14?
Yeah, driving around.
Yeah, it's bad, but like... I used to drive blackout
but
drunk.
But still.
Blackout drunk.
Yeah, I would too when I was a kid. And I look back and I go, that was really dumb.
Don't even remember how I'd get home and
Seriously?
There's my car. Oh, yeah, it was bad.
How old were you?
28.
Yeah. No.
Last year?
No, 18, 19. It was real bad.
Yeah, I would do the same thing. And
so bad.
So what made you stop doing that?
Well, my friends started getting DUIs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there wasn't ever an accident or anything that I was aware of, but all of my friends started getting DUIs, and then... Just waiting for it to happen.
Surprised
to you.
That that would sink in with you, because you seem like a guy that just wouldn't learn from that.
Why do you say that?
Because you have so many run-ins with the law. I mean, look at all the other run-ins that he had
as a kid,
and you'd think, well, that would straighten you out.
He knows right and wrong. I mean, he figured it out. It took him a minute.
Years.
Thank God you stopped.
Years to figure it out. And then after everybody you know gets busted, you're like, I don't know how it hasn't happened to me yet, and then it just hit me. I can't ever.
God, that's so dangerous.
Drive drunk again. Ugh.
Did I ever tell you the story of the way that I got out of driving around when I was in high school? Because it was probably like, I don't know, 17, 18, and we used to go out, my buddies and I, and we drank a lot, big drinkers. And a lot of my friends had pickup trucks. Now, you couldn't fit people in these pickup trucks. So I had a four-door car, and I would oftentimes be the one driving people around.
Sure.
And I knew that it was dumb, and I knew that eventually this was going to be a recipe for disaster. I was either going to get a DUI, or I was going to get in an accident, or something bad was going to happen. But you couldn't, at least the position I was in, couldn't say that to your friends. They'd be like, well, you pussy. And you would get peer pressured into.
Or they'll offer, I'll drive your car. And you're like, well, I don't want you driving my car drunk either. Yeah.
So I got a speeding ticket once, and I made a copy of it at Kinko's, and I doctored it up so that I changed the ticket from the charge of speeding to a charge of driving under the influence. And I told my buddy, like, oh man, yesterday or last week or whatever, I got popped for a DUI. And like Charlie, there were like so many 17, 18 year old kids getting popped for DUI. It was incredible. And so it wasn't an unbelievable story. And I used as backup, I had like this packet of papers. It was all photocopied. So it wasn't like an original ticket, because they were like, the original tickets were pink and they were like, you could just tell, you know, but it was like a photocopied little packet of information, and including a photocopy of this ticket. And we're in my bedroom. I'm like, yeah, see, look, I just got this. And he's looking at it, totally convinced by that. And from that point on, they never said, oh, you have to drive, because they knew, like, oh, he has. And then, but the bad part was that I had to always continually update these.
Yeah,
I have a court date. And like, they set the court date for
how many times
February or something.
You didn't
something.
Just say the lie once? You said it over and over and over again?
Well, these were my friends. And so once I say that I got a DUI, have to stick with that for the next 8 months.
Do you have to go to fake court dates?
Oh, yeah. I had the whole thing.
An extreme.
Did you ask him to drive you? Could you give me a ride to the court tomorrow?
One kid, his name was, what was this guy's name? Tommy something or other. I think after like 3 months, because he had a DUI, and I think after 3 or 4 months, he might have been a little skeptical of my DUI, because I was just making it up. I don't know when he would.
Yeah, just wait. You pick up things. Oh, I got to go to that hotel this weekend, and I got to sit in there for 3 days or whatever.
But this guy had actually been through it. He was a scumbag, that guy. And I think he started getting a little suspicious about my DUI. But no one ever really called me out on it. But it got me out of having to drive
drunk. How did
you
explain ever driving? Because if you get a DUI, then they usually take your license for 6 months. So did you not drive for 6 months?
I don't remember, but I'm guessing that, first of all, this, you have to remember, this is like in 1990. So the laws were different back then. It was, I would say, probably in the past, what'd you say, 15, 20 years, they've cracked down much harder on DUIs.
Big time.
A long time ago. And I shouldn't even say when I was a kid. They were starting to crack down then.
Yeah, like in the 70s, the cop would just follow you home or whatever.
I think in the 80s, too.
But when I was a kid, the penalties certainly were not as stiff as they are now. And maybe they did take your license. I don't remember. But I'm sure that I would have had a story like, oh, I'm allowed to drive to and from work and school and that kind of stuff or whatever. I'm sure I had some sort of story to go along with that. But I felt like that was the only way I could get out of this. I knew I couldn't just go to him and go, guys, I don't want to drive anymore. That wouldn't have worked, at least with the group of guys I hung out with. Let me take a break. When we come back, we will wrap everything up. We'll tell you what's coming up on the Friday Lefters. Wish. On the aftermath. You have anything in the shizzy you didn't get to that we need to talk about, Dougie?
Fats Domino died.
No! Oh.
I thought he was already dead.
Me too.
I found
my thrill. Was that Chubby Checker that died?
Oh,
is he still on the
show? I think he's here.
Oh, okay.
Nope. Wait, which one did we have on the show?
Chubby Checker.
He's alive?
I'll tell you in a second. He's alive.
Okay.
Well, Fats is dead. I'll take a break. We'll come back and tell you what's coming up on The Aftermath on RMG Plus right after this. Hang on. Lingered until
my dream came true. Rover's Morning Glory. One way to tell if Jeffrey is lying.
No.
His lips move.
Come on, quit embellishing.
Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
Tell you what's coming up on The Aftermath on RMG Plus in just a moment. Jane in Rochester, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning. Yo, everybody.
Yo, what's happening?
Not much. I have an interesting idea.
Yes.
If they took these kids and they made it very public with what they were doing, and they incarcerated them wherever it was appropriate for them to be incarcerated for 30 years because the man was 30 years old and he had kids.
I think what you should do, you're onto something, but instead of for 30 years, they should take the average life expectancy of an American adult male, so let's just say 82, 85, something like that. And so the guy had about another 50 years to live in his life, probably, statistically. So you should lock those kids up for 50 years, the remainder of that guy's life.
What about this punishment?
Uh-huh.
Since that would be a heck of a punishment.
Dad has children, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, what if they didn't put him in prison? They didn't do anything. They just put him to work, and they had to take 75% of their income and give it to that kid.
Hmm.
So they would have to keep working, and then you're getting
75%. Why not 100%?
Because you need a little bit to survive, just to be able to go to work. Because then you wouldn't go to work. Eventually, you'd just say, "I'm not going to work." There has to be some incentive for you to want to go to work, and then you pay, and then you're getting five kids as income for the rest of their life.
Yes, Jeffrey. What are you hovering for?
I actually agree with Charlie in that respect, because that's the thing I was going to bring up, but then Charlie beat me to the punch, but
you're
I agree with him.
You say the exact same thing that I just said.
Yeah. I mean, the guy had
it's
a child,
amazing.
And he should have, but in this case, I'm not going to regurgitate what Charlie just said.
Like
I'm just going
to
agree with him.
Regurgitate it, because I want to hear you say it, because this is interesting.
I would have said the same thing. Make put them to work, take 75% of their income.
Wow, I thought I came up with like a new prison
system.
Even
the same percentage.
Yeah, wow.
75%.
I thought I just broke
the mold.
Well, my
kids, I'd say 80% of the income.
Oh, that's how your plans differ.
All
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and then give them 20%. So there you go.
It's like, what is it, 8-minute abs, 6-minute abs, whatever. It's like,
five, yes.
Yeah, it's the same thing there. All right. I do have more Holy Moses Matrimony tickets to give away Thursday and Friday in the 7 and 8 o'clock hours. The show sold out almost instantly, and you can get your tickets, though. You're probably locked out of getting those tickets because they were gone so quickly, but you can have a pair of tickets tomorrow and Friday. Listen, and you can get those from Christie's Cabaret. That's who's giving us these tickets to give away for another opportunity go to a Christie's Cabaret and find the registration box at the front door, register there, and they're going to pick a winner from that as well. Go to christiescabaret.com to find their locations. And DJ Def Jeff is going to be DJing on his wedding night? Is that correct? Is that possible?
Yeah.
That sounds crazy.
Why? He's not
going to... 1 a.m. on his wedding night.
After the wedding.
Screw the honeymoon.
Let's
go to
a
strip club. I see.
Reliable. Right.
But it's a whole new Jeffrey.
No,
there's no shenanigans.
Limo's
there's...
taking the kids, okay. The wife home. He's going to go... He's got a DJ gig.
And he's... Okay.
1 in the morning.
Got to make some extra money. And
right. To support that family.
Yes. Plus, I will be... there for their big Halloween party this Saturday night from 7 to 9. So,
and
guys, come on out.
Doing?
Bring all your singles. Watch, see some big boobs.
He's
pretty
starting
girls.
Starting to talk like Doogie, where he goes up at the end of every sentence. People complain about that probably more than they complain about anything else about Doogie, that she ends every sentence with a question.
Why are you doing that?
So that guy, he got in his car. I don't know why she does that.
No, why is Jeffrey doing it now?
You picked it up from her.
Nah.
I don't know, but what I'm trying to say is they're having their big Halloween costume party, and I will be guest DJing there from 7 to 9 to Saturday night. So you want to, you know,
night.
Guys, bring your singles.
Singles.
So there you go.
There you go. All right.
Dude, you really about to go try on a wedding dress?
Yes, I've got it.
No,
I've got
to
end the
show. You're going to put them on?
I'm excited to see if Charlie's girlfriend will have some fun with me and put on some wedding dress.
She said she has no plans of putting on a wedding dress.
Yes, she will.
She said she'll start crying if she puts one on.
And so will Doogie.
Yeah, don't put a wedding dress on my girlfriend.
Love it.
Huh?
Will she really?
Yeah. You should too. She still has a chance to get married. It's over for you.
This is really sad.
This is really more depressing for you.
You better marry her.
Are you depressed about that, Douche? Yeah. I mean,
I'm actually fine.
Okay. All right.
You think I'll cry if I put a dress on?
Well, let's see. Yes. Try it today. They're going to take Mary Elizabeth for her wedding dress fitting today.
I'm excited.
And Jeffrey is...
I don't understand.
No.
Is Jeffrey dropping...
Mary does not drive, so he's dropping her off at the bridal boutique.
He's
going to
drop her
leaving.
Off at like 12:15 though. And
no, he's not.
At the bridal what?
Boutique.
Okay. Right.
He's trying to drop her off.
He can't. He knows.
Way earlier than.
No. So, Fence Company, if you're listening, he'll be at work around 1:30, 1:45.
Okay.
So, he's not.
He's trying to say he starts at the Fence Company at 1.
Absolutely not.
It's 40 minutes away from where his wedding dress
is. Yeah, because I tried to. I was like, hey, what time do we have to end the aftermath or whatever? Because you have to be somewhere. He goes, well, I'm going to be at the Fence Company at 1. And I said,
absolutely
no, you're not. You're dropping.
Mary Elizabeth
off
at 1.
That's the appointment time is 1. He said, oh, I'll just drop her off beforehand.
Probably just have her walk. It's like a 6-hour walk.
Jeffrey. Under normal circumstances, I'm usually at my Fence Company after we're done with the show and the aftermath. And usually
you're getting a free wedding. You're getting free rings. You're getting a free dress, a free cake.
And they're paying you $10 an hour at the Fence Company.
So tell them your options. You're getting extra money from appearances.
He's not listening to anything you're saying.
I swear to God.
Have you called the Fence Company?
I'll call them as soon as the show is over.
Told them to call and do what?
To say, hey, you're probably not going to be there till 2 or 3 because it's going to be...
It's not 2 or 3.
Or what? It's going to be at least 1:40.
1:45.
I'd say 2 o'clock to be sure.
Yeah, 2. And he said, oh, I'll call her. I'm going to call him right now.
Call him right now.
So did you call
right
him?
Now. All
right. He's not.
Now.
No, he's not. I'm telling you right now, he's going to drop his wife off. When you show up to the wedding place...
I will be pissed if she's there.
Jeffrey will not be there and his wife will be.
You cannot send her into a client that doesn't even have... This is our first meeting. You can't do that.
Well, okay. I'll
get ready for this.
I'll get ready for it. I'll get it handled.
Mm-hmm. Call the Fence Company now.
Does the Fence Company...
Oh my God.
They're probably just hearing this right now.
Yeah, well,
right?
They're probably listening to the show right now. You listen to the show on the job?
Yeah, we listen in.
Yesterday? You do?
Yesterday?
I listened up till about 9 o'clock.
Oh, why until 9 o'clock?
Then,
Huh?
Huh? Let me get this taken
care of,
okay?
What happened at 9?
She changed the station.
Who?
You want to listen to something else, so we'll
who
leave it at that.
Who changed the station?
Whoever owns the radio there, so we'll leave it at that.
Who owns the radio? Your friend Buddy?
Yeah.
Oh, uh-huh. Interesting. He won't let you listen to the show anymore?
Isn't Buddy your, best bud?
Well, he's stuck up for me on a lot of occasions.
It's interesting, because I hear that Jeffrey is now banned from listening to the show at his Fence Company job.
Why?
True?
Well, I'm not totally banned, but it's just that,
Why? What happened?
Let's
hear it. This guy sticks up for you. I mean,
yeah. What do we got?
Yeah.
I think it's the whole, I believe it's the whole wedding party thing.
What about it?
What?
So,
what about it?
Oh, he's not, he can't be in the wedding party, so he's boycotting this show.
Wait, Buddy?
Buddy the Fence guy's boycotting the show because he can't be on stage in the wedding party.
Is that true?
You're kidding, right?
I love it.
This guy's supposed to be your friend.
I love it.
He won't let you listen to the show. Where are you going?
The guy who takes Jeffrey's worn clothes and sells them on eBay.
I love it.
He wants an all-access pass.
Oh, yeah. So this guy is such a baby, he won't let you listen to the show?
No. He just gave me the idea. I went and did it.
Did what?
I went and sold my hoodie online.
Why? So. What an absolute total lie, first of all.
It was under his Facebook account.
How'd you do it on his account? How'd you sell your clothes on his account?
Jeffrey, get off your phone.
Yeah, how'd you sell your clothes on his Facebook account then?
Well, I mean, we thought we could work together and try and make some extra money.
So it wasn't your idea. It was his idea, correct?
And he did it all.
Well,
you already told us this, so I don't know.
All right, then it's revisionist history.
Now he's bent out of shape because he's not allowed on stage.
Is that it?
Bothers me.
Is that really it?
That's pretty much it.
He won't let you listen to the show.
I'm going to put pictures of Buddy, and we're not going to allow him in the venue. I'm going to put right at each entrance. Beware if you've seen this guy deny access.
Wait, does he want to be your best man?
That was,
let me guess. It was his idea again, right? Whose idea was it that Buddy would be your best man?
His.
And I told him, hey, look,
who suggested that Buddy be your best man?
Come on.
I mean, that's a quick answer. You don't have to cross your arms.
Who suggested it? Who?
Hurry, we gotta end.
Who?
Who
suggested that?
There's two people. It's the other hand.
Who suggested Buddy is your best man?
Well, he did ask me about it.
Oh, he did. Okay. Why isn't he? Did Doogie say no, or did you say no? Did you say no?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it's a good idea because this guy is such a baby that he won't allow Jeffrey to listen to the radio anymore.
No.
I think you made the right choice here.
Yeah. No listeners.
Love it. That's great.
And that's what I explained to him.
Yes. The station does not want listeners. Yeah, we're very limited with the...
Oh, Scat's all bent out of shape about this, too. That's why he's asking. I don't know. I know he was asking. Is this a Rover Media event?
No.
Or a WMMS event?
This is a Live Nation event. So they control everything, and the station said...
I really have no...
We have nothing to do with it. We're planning it, but it's their event, if that makes sense. It's not like Rover... Like, I don't have extra tickets. Like, Roverfest, we're in control. We have nothing to do
I have no tickets.
With this.
I'm making no money off of this.
Right.
Nothing.
So the company said nobody's running around backstage. We have enough going on. We have a national act back there.
Could you imagine Buddy trying to get backstage?
Selling Jeffrey's pants to him or something? Whatever.
Buddy the best man.
Yeah. This guy's such a good friend of yours. I can't believe he won't let you listen to the radio at work anymore.
Well, hey, it's his radio. I mean,
it's actually literally his radio. He owns
the
radio.
Yeah, he brought it in. He hooked it up, and
I'll give you a radio.
And everything. So.
Dueling boom boxes.
Yeah.
You want a radio? I'll bring you one.
No, it's okay.
Plug it in tomorrow.
So when did this change? When did he stop allowing you to listen to the show? Your best friend.
I think it was when I had explained to him that management's not allowing any listeners, backstage and whatnot.
So he's boycotted the show and made sure that you can't hear it. Okay.
Buddy, the best man boycotter, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. Right.
Justin in Louisville. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Justin.
Hey, good morning, Rover.
Hey.
Peter, yo!
Yo!
Hey, first I wanted to say, hey, thanks for you guys coming down to Louisville. It really meant a lot to us. But I got a question for Jeffrey.
All right.
Is he there?
Yes, he's here.
Yeah.
Do you remember spilling a beer down the back of one of the listeners in Louisville?
No, I don't think I recall that. If it did happen, I do apologize for that.
If it did happen.
Well, you Well, you did it on purpose, so that's why if it did happen, it did.
Oh, what happened? What did you see?
So one of my buddies, who will remain nameless, he knows Jeffrey's terribly homophobic. So, you know, he might have been dancing in Jeffrey's personal bubble.
Okay.
And his rear end may have grinded up against Jeffrey's leg.
Uh-huh.
And when this happened, Jeffrey goes, "Oh, I'll pour my beer on you." And then lifts his beer up. You know, normally, like, he cocks his arm back to hit Charlie.
Right.
And beer just goes all down the back of my friend.
So he poured the beer on this guy on purpose. Jeffrey, you have no recollection of this, Jeffrey?
I mean, if it happened, it happened. Maybe the guy shouldn't have, and the guy should not have kissed me either. I should have knocked his teeth
through. Oh, he kissed you?
No, I thought you were kissing women.
Oh, tell us
you
about this,
guy?
Jeffrey.
No,
yeah.
Guy just like, you know, just runs in, just pecks me on the lips, and I said,
on the lips?
Like, let me finish.
Go ahead.
And what? I should have said, you know what? And I was ready. He ran away so fast that he had a hairy beard. And I should have said, I should have knocked his teeth so far down his throat that you have to stick a toothbrush up his ass to brush his teeth. That's what I should have done.
Uh-huh. Did you kiss his ass too?
No, I wouldn't have.
I wasn't there for.
I would have broke my foot off in his
now,
ass.
Does your friend have a big beard, Justin?
He does have a little bit of a beard. Yes.
All right, so, I didn't know Jeffrey was making out with guys.
Wasn't
and
making
girls.
Out with a guy. The guy forced himself on me.
Did you tell your
I could
wife
have gotten him
that?
For a sexual assault too.
Well, I don't.
So I should have kicked him in his nuts too, for that matter.
Well, Justin, this thank you for bringing this to my attention. This is a new revelation.
I didn't know he was kissing guys in Louisville.
Well, you know, they have the Louisville Slugger. You're a switch hitter down there, apparently.
Oh, yeah, right. I should have bashed him with a Louisville Slugger. How about that?
Stop it.
Justin, thank you. All right. What's coming up in the aftermath, Charlie?
We'll talk about Snitzer being married for 25 years. We'll get to the bottom of Nad's story about his car breaking down, and we'll talk about Rover faking a DUI to get out of driving his friends around. And we'll talk about this new revelation that Jeffrey isn't allowed to listen to the show at his fence company anymore because of a guy not being allowed to be his best man. All that and more coming up in the aftermath.
Okay. Buddy, the bisexual best man boycotter is behind
buddy.
All of that.
Yeah.
Right. His butt buddy. Let's see here. In Rochester, it's a hardcore ticket slap week. Get tickets to see Imagine Dragons, Group Love, and Kay Flay, and be qualified to win a meet and greet with Imagine Dragons. They're at the Key Bank Center in Buffalo, Wednesday, November 1st. So listen all this week at 9 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. for your shot at tickets. So you are only about 2 hours away from another shot at that. And this weekend, Halloween weekend, open the iHeartRadio app, Halloween weekend, and get a free preview of iHeartRadio All Access. This means that you get everything absolutely free. Search and play any song instantly. Get unlimited skips in your custom artist stations. Create your own playlists. Download music right to your phone to listen offline. It's all free this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Just open the iHeartRadio app for the all-access free preview. And if you don't have the iHeartRadio app, download it now. Snitz, you've been married 25 years.
Happy anniversary.
Happy
honey.
Anniversary.
Happy anniversary, Snitz.
Would you like to...
If you could take 30 seconds to give your wife a heartfelt message over the radio right now to Mrs. Snitzer. What would you like to tell her, Snitz?
I'd like to tell her she's my best friend. She's my soulmate. I love her with all my heart. And here's another 25 years.
That's all only right. 8 seconds.
That's
that
was perfect.
That's all you get.
Leave him alone. It was perfect.
All right. We will be back live tomorrow morning. The Aftermath starts in about 8 minutes or so on RMG Plus. Subscribe now at roverradio.com so you can watch or listen to that live.
Tomorrow we have more chances to get into Holy Moses. And we have Gretchen Carlson calling in. And we have the hookup.
Formerly of Fox News. Yep. Who has, she started all of this sexual harassment stuff. All right. We'll talk to her tomorrow. Have a great day. It's Rover's Morning Glory.
Bye.
Bye.
Rover's Morning Glory.